You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Biggs.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. You never know what's coming at you. Live here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
All right. You're some type of announcer dude.
Yeah, I kind of went like half announcer, half like Captain Kirk.
Yeah.
This show is coming live.
Captain Kirk as an announcer would be interesting.
Yeah, right.
I think it would sound almost exactly like that.
Because you have to take the breaks, but they have to be appropriate with what an announcer would say at a stadium.
Yeah. Monday night, monster truck rally.
Yeah, there you go. I see something like that, yeah.
I don't know. Was that an effective Captain Kirk announcer?
I think that was more Kirk than announcer.
Yeah, probably.
Like, if that was a scale, you more leaned Kirk more than, towards
I was just
Kirk
a really
an
angry,
announcer.
Redneck, monster truck-loving Captain Kirk.
Yeah. You know what? That's the all-American American.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
I'm going to, you know, kick alien ass and then come home, sip my beer, and
watch the monster truck rally.
Yeah, right.
Have you ever been to a monster truck show thing?
No, I actually never have.
I've been to one.
Is it fun?
Yeah, I was like a little kid, so I thought it was awesome at the time. It was fun to see like these giant trucks just crush everything. It was pretty cool.
Then there you go. Mike's recommendation.
go see. Do they still have monster truck shows?
Oh, yeah.
Do they?
Oh, yeah. I was actually down.
I used to see them on, like, advertised. I don't see them advertised.
No,
anymore.
I was down the Sports Center.
The Sports Center. You're at Sports Center. Oh, my God. Wow. Why are you still here, Rich?
No. I was at the Sports Complex is what I meant to say. Right. You know what? Yeah. You know, in Philadelphia, we should just call it the Sports Center.
Yeah.
That's the Philadelphia Sports Center.
It is.
It's South Philly Sports Complex. But I was down there, and they were advertising for a monster truck rally
really?
At Wells Fargo Center.
Oh, wow.
And in latest news, absolutely no Philadelphia sports is actually taking place that you need to know about. So just come on down to the South Philadelphia Sports Complex and have a drink at Xfinity Live. Thank you very much.
That's really the highlight there right now.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, no, like the Phillies suck. Is basketball still going on? I don't even know.
The Sixers are out.
The Sixers are out.
They didn't make the playoffs.
I don't even pay attention to this stuff. unless it's football, I'm just like, whatever. Barely aware that the Phillies are awful. And then everything else is just white noise. Until the football news pops up.
So there you go. We're going to talk about sports, and Mike only knows football.
Well, no, I also know some other topics that we have in the next upcoming segment, Rich.
Oh, really? You do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. Well, good for you, because we're going to talk about sports, so I hope you know something.
I know my stuff. It's not the – what am I trying to say is that – what am I trying to say?
So there you go. Worst comes to worst, that can always
happen. I'll just ramble, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Before we dive into sports, we like to do a little bit of an intro segment.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You know, what we've been up to in the week since we've last been on the air. Just to buy Mike some time as he researches last-minute Philadelphia sports that are not the Eagles. So, Mike, other than Eagles, 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 Eagles going right through your head, is there anything else that you're up to in the week? Since we were last on the show?
Well, the other thing...
Eagles. It's so hard to do it over and over again.
Okay, keep doing it.
Eagles.
It's like a tongue twister.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know what happens?
The more you say a word, the less meaning it has.
Not just that though, but with Eagles, I feel like I'm turning into more Philadelphian accent. Cause when you're down South Philly, they don't say Eagles. They say like Eagles. Yeah, like an I.
Yeah.
Eagles. Yeah. It starts to sound like Eagles. I start to hear the I in it.
Yeah.
It's actually freaking me out right now.
Oh my
God. Please talk.
Okay. I'm going to talk. The other thing that runs through my mind other than the Eagles is, Marvel's Avengers Age of Ultron, which I got to see this past weekend on Mother's Day. I'm so lucky that my mom loves the Avengers. That's what she... No, I am. She wanted to go see Avengers. I was like,
sure. Sure, she did. Yeah.
No, she did. You can ask her. She did.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's what was going on this weekend.
That's like bringing your mom. I bought you a PlayStation. We can play with it together.
You know what? She loved watching Heavy Rain and Mass Effect.
Yes.
And The Last of Us. So you can't even say that.
Okay.
But no. People that know my mom.
I bought an air hockey table. Air hockey table.
No, Rich, we just literally went over how the only sport I like is football. You're trying to bring in air hockey. What is this nonsense? This isn't football.
Sorry.
God.
Jeez. All right, so what do you got?
But no, this past weekend was Mother's Day. So we took my mom out to Outback for lunch. And then we saw Avengers Age of Ultron. And it was spectacular. It was a great movie. I love everything that you said last week was true. The destruction was too over the top, but I love the way that it's setting up the future Marvel films. So we already went over it, so I'm not going to spend that much time on it, but everybody, if you haven't seen it yet, definitely go see that movie. It's great. That's what I was doing this past weekend. It was all Mother's Day stuff. What were you up to, Rich?
Yeah, of course you had the, Mother's Day, fun and all that stuff. I'll tell you what I did watch, over the weekend was I caught the, new HBO documentary Montage of Heck.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. My cousin was talking about that.
Yeah. It's about, Kurt Cobain. And,
yeah. Yeah.
Just what a life he led. And it's definitely an amazing documentary. I highly recommend it if you have HBO, if you have the ability to check it out. I love grunge. I love an alternative rock.
Nirvana is one of the best.
Nirvana, that's one of my favorite bands.
Yeah.
It's just perfect. I loved every minute of it. I highly recommend it. So
you forced your mom to watch.
No, I didn't force my mom to watch it. No.
Oh, so you rag on me for taking my mom to see Avengers, something that she actually wanted to see, and you forced your mom to watch Kurt Cobain.
No, I watched it. That was me.
HBO does put out great documentaries.
Yeah. So I highly recommend that one, if you get a chance to watch it. So there you go. That's what we've been up to in the week. Since we've last been on the podcast. So you know what, Mike? I hope you've checked up on your non-Eagles news because it's time to jump into the sports sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
See you in your face. Ha-ha!
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, apparently Marge Simpson didn't want to shut up there.
No, there was a delay on my computer. This is weird.
This is so bad.
Like that, you had like a little bit of delay.
Yeah, a little bit of a delay. But you know who didn't delay in responding to criticism, Rich?
Oh boy, tell me who, Mike.
Ricky Fowler. Yeah, because everyone knows that on this podcast, I'm the golf guy. I know all about golf. So Ricky Fowler's a golfer, swings the club, hits the golf ball, goes down the green, the field, the course. And then he puts it into a hole. There was recently a poll. It's all green, yeah.
All right.
Except for the trees and the sand traps are yellow. Right?
Not yellow.
A little white-ish yellow.
There you go. You're getting better.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's my golf analysis. Brilliant, right? I researched all that during the intro, yeah.
Boy.
We do listen to you people. Sometimes. In all seriousness, though, this Ricky Fowler story is kind of interesting. You brought this up to me. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it, Rich?
Yeah, this is actually one of the coolest cases of in your face I've actually ever heard
yes.
of. In your face! Ha ha! Because, Ricky Fowler, he's, a young golfer, up and comer. In his amateur career, he has the longest, number one ranking among amateurs ever in golf history.
Wow, that's so pretty impressive.
So, entering the PGA Tour, there was a lot, that he was expected to do. And Ricky Fowler even said it, that he said that I want to be the Tiger Woods of this generation and all this.
That's a lot that you put on your plate by saying you want to be the Tiger Woods of this generation.
Yes.
I mean, you naturally put a bullseye on your back.
Right. So, you know, Ricky Fowler entered the PGA Tour with a lot of hype.
Right.
And, you know, he's doing very well for himself so far. But unfortunately, the big knock against Ricky Fowler is that he still hasn't won a major yet. He's finished second place, I think, twice. But
still
anyway,
a pretty good finish.
Yeah, it is. Hey, that still is noteworthy, and you still walk away from those majors with a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah.
But unfortunately, it doesn't have the same air right. of authority. You know, you still haven't won a major yet.
You still haven't made your presence known yet. Second place.
Right.
It's like losing in the Super Bowl, to make it a football analogy.
Good job, Mike.
So... Anyway, these news publications, every now and then they do a secret poll among all players
right.
in a sporting industry.
Right.
It happens in every single league. They did one for golf, and they asked all the golfers anonymously, who do you think is the most overrated golf player? And the number one answer came back, Ricky Fowler.
Wow.
And this happened last Wednesday that the report came out.
That's so, what happens when you say you want to be the next Tiger Woods.
Yeah, right.
And you invite that type of, you know, hyper, you know.
Criticism.
Criticism, yeah. You know, everyone's looking for any little mistake that you make.
Right. It also doesn't help that he also has another young contender in the form of Rory McIlroy.
Who we've talked about before.
Yes, and who's the same age as him, and he's already won three majors, including two that were back-to-back last year.
Yeah.
So Rory has gotten off on a fast start. Maybe Ricky Fowler's getting left behind in the dust. Now this poll comes out that he's voted the most overrated among the tour. He kind of has a pretty boy persona as well.
He sponsors
Puma, and he's got the drop dead model girlfriend, and he makes
out. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, but he makes out with her every time you know he can. It's a little. You know,
he's just rubbing it in everyone's
face.
You know, it's like, look at what I got.
Right.
You got first place, but look at what I got.
Right. So it's not really that much of
I'll
a
get
shocker.
My own hole in one.
Good job, Mike.
That fucking sucked. Tell you what, her stroke is better than yours.
All right. I'm not going to touch that one with a 10-foot putter now.
Which is what Ricky's touching his supermodel girlfriend with. We got to liven up this golf talk somehow.
Yes. Good job. So anyway, this report came out. Ricky Fowler gets voted as the most overrated. Now, fast forward to the weekend.
Okay.
And the PGA event for last weekend is called the Players Championship. And it takes place on a course called Sawgrass, which is a very prestigious golf course.
You have to be careful on that course.
Actually, you do. You do. I'm not making that up.
So the grass is made of saw blades?
No.
Oh.
No.
Well, that's not exciting.
But what is exciting is on the 17th hole of this course is a par 3. Where,
oh, yeah, that's...
Will you shut up and let me finish?
Go ahead.
The par 3 is when you tee off from the tee box, it's either going to hit the green or it's in the water. There's no bullshit. Oh, whatever.
You can't say that.
Shut up! I'm leading this golf conversation.
Look at this.
I'm going
this.
To talk however I want to.
I got him off his something. Now I can't talk.
Yeah, look what you're doing.
It's contagious.
Yeah, alright. So anyway, this is a very prestigious championship. Take it from me.
Okay.
It's not as big as the majors, so it's not like Super Bowl worthy, but it's a
next
pretty big
tier
one.
Down.
Yeah. If this was wrestling, this isn't the World Heavyweight Championship, but it would be like the Intercontinental Championship.
Okay.
All right. Like one of those mid majors.
Right.
And Ricky Fowler goes in 24 hours after being voted the most overrated player, all this negativity on him, he goes into the Players' Championship at Sawgrass and wins in convincing fashion.
Wow. Well, there's no better way to prove your doubters wrong than by beating those very people that were polled.
Yeah.
To rate you the most overrated player.
So I had to bring it up. I love a story like that.
That is, you know, a great story.
That's one of the best ways you can say in your face.
In your face! Ha ha! And that's what he said right before he made out with his girlfriend on the green. Just took her downtown.
You are actually not that far off.
Really?
He actually did grab his
girlfriend.
Bent
her over.
No? No, not on the green.
His putters get a lot of use.
That's afterwards.
Oh, afterwards. That's in the golf cart riding back to the country club.
Right. But no, he definitely had a celebratory makeout session with her after the final hole. That
rolling around right in front of the hole, so the other golfers are like, "Can I finish my putt?" He's like, "No, in your face, leave me alone,
in your face."
You know what? Yeah, just go ahead at this point. Go ahead.
Well, he just beat everybody. I mean, that's the ultimate way to cap it off, you know.
You know what? That should be a new rule that, like, whoever wins the tournament gets to break one rule. Like, you know.
Wow. What? So, I don't know. What rules are there to break?
Golf? There's like a rule for everything.
Yeah, but what's a fun one to break?
That would be a fun one.
What? To make out on the green and block other people's play?
Yeah.
Is that a rule? Thou shalt not make out on the green and block other people's play?
Yeah, you're not allowed to do that.
The green it say that?
The green is supposed to be sacred. You're not supposed to do anything.
You're not
bad.
Supposed to defile it.
Yeah, you're not supposed to defile the green.
Okay, with any unsavory acts.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So there, you know what? That'll be a way to liven up golf. Yeah. Whoever wins gets to break one rule on the next tournament.
Okay.
Any rule that they want.
I see. I don't know any golf rules to break. I mean, what could they break? Give me an example.
They have
you could kick one of your opponent's golf balls somewhere. You're not allowed to touch the other person's ball.
You're not allowed to touch the end. There you go.
Just kick it straight into the lake.
Yeah.
Just be like, take that.
Screw you. Right into the lake. Or
jerk and you just punt it to the next green.
Yeah.
Just run up and tackle Tiger Woods. He's getting ready to tee off.
Or like that big tall guy in Happy Gilmore did. You take one of your opponent's clubs and just like bend it in half.
Nice. Intimidate them, yeah.
See how you chip now, you stupid person you. I was about to say something bad.
I can tell.
I wanted to use a big one.
I already used the curse before, so.
Yeah. You only have one curse per show, Rich.
Yeah, my limit is already up.
Yeah.
So let's not go back there.
We should institute a swear jar.
Yeah.
We might need that.
So anyway.
Ricky Fowler.
Yeah, Ricky Fowler, props to you for just taking that overrated poll nonsense and then just showing the haters wrong. Haters gonna hate in your face. Awesome.
In your face. Ha ha.
Gotta love it.
Oh yeah, what a great way to get back at people.
Come on, even for a golf story, that's a great story.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think my vivid descriptions livened it up a bit.
Yes.
But no, it was, I like stories where people get to, you know, prove all their doubters wrong. That's a great one.
Yep.
Oh, this one.
This one's the not proving the doubters wrong.
No, this is proving them correct, actually.
Yep. It's our first football story.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitchin' fucking football!
And what do we got, Mike?
That's right. This is a big one. This is one that's been plaguing the NFL for the past couple of months. It is the ongoing investigation about Deflategate. For those of you that are unfamiliar with the term Deflategate.
What's that?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what it is.
What's that?
Deflategate is the controversy that arose during the NFL playoffs in which teams were accusing the Patriots of deflating the footballs below the required pressure of, I think it was 12.5 PSI.
In my opinion, that sucked.
Yeah, it does suck. It does suck. The theory is that it makes them easier to grip, therefore offering the quarterback – you know, better throwing accuracy, you know, just easier to handle the football, less likely to fumble it, that sort of stuff. Of course, you know, this all comes out during the Colts-Patriots game of the playoffs. So everyone's like, oh.
The AFC Championship game.
AFC, big game, big game. The Patriots annihilated the Colts, but everyone was saying, oh, you know, they cheated, and, you know, they, I don't know what people, you can't overturn the results of the game, but whatever. So Deflategate became a huge controversy. They started an investigation, and recently the results of that investigation have come back, and am I saying this right?
Are you all right?
I can't talk investigation, yes.
It's all that golf talk.
It's all that golf talk got me all messed up, yeah.
makes you feel good.
But the report says that it...
What does it say?
The report says that it is more probable than not that the Patriots staff intentionally deflated footballs. But wait, it gets even more dramatic. It turns out that Brady was, quote, at least generally aware, end quote.
Generally aware. How
more vague can you get? He was at least generally aware. What does that mean? That's very vague, don't you think?
Well, not vague enough for the punishment.
No, it's not. Because the NFL has handed down some stiff punishments for Tom Brady and the Patriots organization. Even though the report found that the Pats ownership, Bill Belichick, and the equipment manager were not involved, the Patriots still got hit with some major penalties. First, Tom Brady is suspended for the first four regular season games. Bad boys, bad boys. What you gonna do?
What you gonna do when they come for you? Oh, Brady is now a bad boy.
Yeah, he's one of those players that have those suspensions on their records. It's great. I mean, it's not great, but it's interesting because he's always been this, you know, this immaculate sort of star that never did anything wrong. And now it's like, oh, you're getting suspended for four games. I mean, that's kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he got four games. I really am. I thought the NFL would want to protect the golden boy.
Well, you know, we've talked about this before. Roger Goodell is very interested in making sure that, people are aware that he's going to take a strong stance with players misbehaving. You know, he was criticized about, you know, being too strict or not being strict enough with past instances. But this is a chance to show that he's going to be tough on football-related issues too, not just off-the-field issues. So I feel like, you know, he's been so tough recently that he had to come down on Brady the same as he did with everyone else. So Brady gets the four-game suspension, but the punishments don't end there. The team... the Patriots also lose their 2016 first-round pick and a 2017 fourth-round pick, as well as facing a fine of $1 million. So these are pretty big punishments for the Patriots organization as well. But, Rich, what do you make of all this? First of all, how should fans react to this news of the fact that, you know, Deflategate was proven to be true or proven to be accurate?
For everyone that isn't a Patriots fan, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, justice has been served. But I can understand, you know, all the Patriots fans out there that are just screaming right now.
They're probably a little ticked off.
Yeah. I mean, not only are they losing Tom Brady for the first four games, they're also losing LeGarrette Blount for, what, three, I think, two?
Are they?
Yeah, he got suspended, too.
For Deflategate or for...
No, for...
something else.
For substance abuse. Yeah, he's out, too.
Oh,
so that
wow.
means they're losing their starting quarterback, their starting running back, both in the first three games, at least the first three games
wow.
of the season.
And their secondary was just gutted.
Yeah.
This past offseason, so...
And all the other teams in the AFC East have improved.
Yeah, it's going to be a rough couple weeks for the Patriots there.
Yeah.
But the one thing that I want to get across to people, and I've heard this mentioned a few times, but I just want to reiterate that the deflated balls had nothing to do with the Patriots winning those games.
No.
I mean, I hear people
the Patriots won that game 38-6 or something, right?
Something
ridiculous.
Obscene like that. And remember, the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, you know, everyone made sure that those balls were properly inflated the entire time. So this does nothing to tarnish the Patriots' victory. You know, people are saying, "Oh, is it tarnished?" It's not tarnished at all. Get over it. The Indianapolis Colts, the Baltimore Ravens, they lost fair and square, as did the Seattle Seahawks. But I do think that Tom Brady deserves to be punished. I mean, he outright lied to the fans, the organization, Bill Belichick, and I'm wondering if there's going to be lasting issues in that locker room now that Tom Brady, you know, because the report does indicate that the Pats ownership and the head coaches and everybody, they weren't aware that this was going on. This was Brady and the two people named in the report, Jim McNally, the officials locker room attendant, and John Jastrzemski, the equipment assistant. These were the guys doing it. So what do you think? Does this cause any lingering issues in the locker room now that this sacred bond between quarterback and head coach has been violated? I mean, Tom Brady told Bill Belichick, no, I didn't do anything. And Bill Belichick got up, defended his quarterback, came back to bite him in the ass.
I'll tell you what. I think there is a chance. I think that this is indicative that there is a bad mojo in that Patriots locker room, that they just view that whatever you can do to bend the rules as much as you can is justified.
Yeah. Do you think Bill Belichick created this issue with Tom Brady? He told Tom Brady that he could bend the rules, but that just the culture sort of invited it.
There's something wrong in that culture, in that Patriots culture, where they just encourage, you know, these subtle ways to bend and mesh, right, and
like
fog
always
up the rules.
Like, I mean, always putting Tom Brady on the injury report.
Yeah.
Not that it has any effect on the outcome of the game, but it's just these little weird things that they do.
I mean, looking back at everything Bill Belichick has seen under his, you know, coaching record, I mean, you're talking about Spygate. Now you're talking about Deflategate.
When you have two gates to your name.
Yeah,
I mean,
where there's two incidents of smoke, there's probably fire.
Probably a forest fire at that point.
And I don't know. I feel like this Deflategate is definitely minute compared to major cheating scandals that we've seen in sports history. But I feel like this is indicative that something bigger is going on in that Patriots organization. And I don't know. I get a bad mojo vibe that there's like a culture of, you know, do what it takes,
even if what you're doing is against the rules of the game.
Right.
Yeah. And again,
and that's a big problem.
Right. And again, Deflategate, you know, compared to other instances of cheating, this is very low tier, I think, in my opinion, especially since it didn't really impact the outcome of those games. But I think you're right. It is a small example of the larger issue behind the Patriots locker room. And I wonder if some of these relationships could be fractured now because this sort of broken trust between Tom Brady and the organization. Not that they're going to get rid of Tom Brady, not by any means, but I don't know. It just feel like Tom Brady lied to all his teammates. I don't know if the teammates are going to take that very well. I don't know how the organization is going to take that either, that they got up and defended their quarterback and he was, quote, at least generally aware.
I think that it provides more. It provides a bigger microscope to watch the Patriots under. And if there's
what we thought Spygate was going to do, though.
And if there's even another incident of cheating or something going on, Bill Belichick is going to have his job revoked or something. Like, there is no way he can have another. If there's another scandal that breaks out under the Patriots organization while he is head coach, he's going to be done. This is just getting ridiculous.
It's pretty shocking that two of these controversies have happened with him.
Yeah.
You know, the third, you know, that's it. Three strikes and you're out.
That's the way it should be, at least. But I don't know. Roger Goodell, he loves the Patriots. Go figure.
Well, I mean, they're the Patriots.
Yeah, whatever.
Six Super Bowls, four wins. They're America's team right now. Not the Cowboys. Ugh.
You know what?
As much as the NFL would love the Cowboys to be America's team.
Just a side note here.
Uh-oh.
There's the first four games that Brady is out for, one of them is the Cowboys.
Oh, yeah.
So even despite the fact that the Patriots did get hurt in this Deflategate, it still doesn't help Eagles fans. As a matter of fact, it helps Cowboys fans. How the hell does that happen that we can't catch a break in this?
Well, I mean, I don't know.
Damn it.
You can't depend on other teams being punished to help our team, though. Our team has got to right its issues on the field on their own.
In a stunning move, the Patriots have switched games between the Cowboys and the Eagles just now.
And they benched their entire offensive line.
Yay!
And the Eagles still lose.
So there you go. Some football news for you there. Now we got one more subject to cover here in the sports sampler. And I got to admit, this is something that I'm just really, I don't want to say depressed, but I'm definitely sad over it.
Yeah.
And that is the announcement that Daniel Bryan had for the WWE Universe this week regarding his future with WWE and the Intercontinental Championship that he currently holds.
Well, what happened?
Well, first off, he won it. He won the Intercontinental Championship in amazing fashion at WrestleMania this year in a big ladder match, which was awesome. Man.
Ladder matches.
Yeah, everyone loves ladder matches. So much fun. He had a successful defense afterwards. But then he noticed that an old injury kept coming back to bug him. For those who don't know, Daniel Bryan in 2014 won the WWE World Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania that year, and then a month later sustained a pretty bad nerve injury in his neck.
Those can be pretty dangerous.
Yeah, and it was so bad that it caused him to vacate the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, and he missed the rest of the year in wrestling.
Yeah, well, those are serious injuries.
Yep. So after he was recovered, he came back to the wrestling circuit in the Royal Rumble, and he's been on the WWE roster for a little bit of time, just pulled off the Intercontinental Championship win at WrestleMania this year,
right?
A successful title defense, and now the injury has come back to haunt him.
It's the same one then?
Yeah, it's the same injury, and Daniel Bryan had this to say to the WWE Fan Nation.
I was hurt, and I couldn't defend the championship. And if you guys deserve anything, you guys deserve a fighting champion. Which is actually why I asked to come out here tonight. I had an MRI last week. They don't know how long I'll be out. They said maybe weeks. Maybe months. They said I might never ever be able to wrestle again. But despite the uncertainty in my career, that makes me know for a fact what needs to happen with the Intercontinental Championship. You deserve to have WWE superstars fighting for this championship. The Intercontinental Championship should not be sitting on a physical therapist's chair. It deserves to be in this ring. And in this ring is where I am going to leave it.
So Daniel Bryan announces that he's vacating the Intercontinental Championship. Just again, it seems like a repeat of 2014.
That must really suck for him.
Yeah, I mean, the same thing, injury. But unfortunately, a little bit scarier prognosis, as the doctors working with Daniel Bryan have indicated that either this is an injury that he'll recover from weeks, months, or this is it. He won't be coming back.
Yeah, well, I mean, you always have to take those nerve injuries seriously, because that can have lasting effects.
Yeah. I mean, to give you an idea of how bad this injury is, Daniel Bryan has said on multiple times that during the course of 2014, when he was trying to recover from this injury, there were times when he would wake up and he would have no power in his right arm.
Wow.
Like, he couldn't.
That's scary. Yeah.
I mean, imagine that, waking up and all of a sudden you can't hold things.
Now imagine if, and I think you said he was like 30-something, 33?
He's 33, yeah. So this is pretty young.
I mean, imagine if he sustains another injury like that and it becomes, you know, permanent. I mean, it completely changes your life. You know, and people have to realize that it's probably not worth it to risk you know, a more serious injury. So I think he's making the smart move. A sad move for the fans, because I know he's a fan favorite. You've talked about how he's the fans want him to win. And
yeah, the last couple of years, he has been just the idol that all of the WWE universe wants to see him win. He's just like the little train that could. They want to see him win.
Yeah,
he's a relatively short guy compared to all these, you know, big muscle men like John Cena and The Rock,
right,
and Batista, you know.
Right, but they have to realize, you know, that he's making the smart choice here.
Yeah.
You know, as sad as it is to see him vacate it, he's got to take care of himself first and foremost.
Yeah.
And I think the fans realize that, because when he was announcing it in that clip, they were like, they wanted to cheer because they were going to see awesome fights, but also they were like really upset. So the crowd sounded confused to me. They were like, no, yay, boo. Did you pick up on that?
Yeah, they didn't really know how to react.
They wanted to boo the fact that he had to give it up, but they also wanted to cheer him to make him feel better, you know, so the crowd was just murmuring.
Yeah, they didn't know how exactly to support Brian in that speech. I hope that's not a retirement speech. I hope that's not it. He's such a talented wrestler. I hope that isn't it for his career. I hope it doesn't end like this.
I mean, we'll just have to wait and see. I mean, but two times the same injury.
Two times same injury, very serious injury.
That's really scary. You don't want anything permanent to happen. I mean, it could very well be a retirement speech.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think it is as of right now, but I think maybe down the line, 1-2 years, I think maybe he's probably going to say, you know, it's just not worth it.
Yeah. Well, I hope that if there is any sort of way that history repeats itself, I hope it's a Shawn Michaels case where he got, you know, Shawn Michaels had a very similar injury to his lower back, and doctors were saying he was never going to be able to wrestle again, but he rested for, I'd say, 3 years or so.
Wow.
And, you know, let his body heal, and then got back into form, and then he came back and he wrestled.
Well, so
I'm hoping that maybe something like that happens. Maybe
that could be a possibility. I mean, I'm no doctor. You know, I didn't take many science classes in school.
Yeah,
so
we're not doctors.
So, you know, I don't know what a nerve injury is compared to whatever Shawn Michaels had. So I don't know, like, on a scale of severity where they both lie, but, you know, there's always a possibility of something like that happening.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that maybe that's the road that Daniel Bryan might be able to take, that maybe if he takes a substantial amount of time off, maybe that'll let him heal.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just hope it's not the end.
For me, I don't want to see a young person have their life completely changed and ruined just because of that. So, you know, I hope he really thinks about it going forward.
Yeah.
It'd be a shame to see him leave the game so early, but, you know, I don't know. He's got to play his cards right. First of all, he's got to get better.
Yeah, and whatever this is. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, just go from there.
So there you go. Wow. We covered a range of emotions, from the exciting world of golf to crazy scandals in football and a sudden retirement of the Intercontinental Championship from Daniel Bryan, but I hope it's not a permanent retirement.
Yeah.
There.
Emotions are running so high, I think we need to step away and take a little break.
Yeah, we're going through an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah.
Here.
Oh my gosh, I can't take it, Rich.
Yeah. So we'll calm down.
Yes, yes.
We'll get our bearings straight, and we will come back with the entertainment entree, a side dish. We're going to bring back a side dish.
Oh, it's going to be good.
Yeah, and then, of course, the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. More of the Chris Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
Thieves made off with a full tractor trailer filled of shredded mozzarella cheese bound for a Hungry Howie's Pizza distribution center in Central Florida.
Why?
Would you like to take a guess at how much cheese that's worth?
Oh, God.
$85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
That's a lot of cheese.
The truck was officially reported stolen on Sunday. It's on the loose right now in Florida. Someone has $85,000 worth of shredded mozzarella cheese.
What were they planning to do with the cheese?
Can't exactly sell that on the black market. You
yeah,
know?
I could just picture people on like street corner. Hey, want some mozzarella? I mean, can you buy street cheese?
Street cheese?
Yeah, like street drugs, street cheese.
Oh man, this is the good stuff.
Oh man, I got some hardcore mozzarella here. They like snort it. Oh man, people are like hooked on mozzarella.
Yeah.
Oh
man,
you got that mozzarella?
Oh boy. Why'd you turn to Mickey Mouse there at the end?
He's in Florida, right?
Yeah, he is. I need some more of that mozzarella cheese.
Mickey Mouse has a drug addiction to stolen mozzarella cheese.
I can't run the park without my mozzarella cheese. Goofy, you got some more? Of course, Mickey. I don't have any mozzarella.
Oh, boy. You need to get me that dime bag. You don't give me that dime back, I'm going to blow your effing head off.
I'm the one who knocks.
Yes.
I now want to see a Breaking Bad and Mickey Mouse crossover where they're dealing mozzarella cheese.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
You think that of me? I am the danger.
Say my name.
Yes.
Say my name.
Mickey Mouse.
You're goddamn right.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Chilling out. Gotta love our recording nights. I love doing this podcast.
Oh, man, it's always such a blast.
Yep. I also like that we record at night.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, when we first did the show, we used to record, like, early in the morning?
Because we had
college classes.
We had college classes, yeah. We had work and college classes. Yeah. And it was, like, weird schedules. So we recorded at, like, what was it, like, 2 o'clock in the afternoon?
Yeah, one time we did, yeah.
And it was, like, really, it was, like, I mean, it wasn't stressful. I mean, it was fun. But also, we had to, like, you know, be ready. Because we each had to go somewhere.
Right.
But now
we kind of move at our own pace, you know?
Yeah.
We ebb and flow between the different segments.
Yeah.
And
we're mellow. We're just going with the flow.
Yeah, just having some fun. Well, that is the goal of the Crispy Noodle Podcast, to give you
Definitely. The
latest news that we find most interesting and to present it to you in a fun and crazy manner. Regardless of whatever we think of each other's topics, especially when it comes to golf.
No, I like golf. I like golf. Yeah, golf is fun. I like to make it a little interesting for myself. And
you need to go out on the golf course. We need the
mini golf.
No, full blown golf.
I'm telling you, you will pull your hair out. I'm telling you, it will not be pretty. We can try the driving range, and you'll see just how bad I am.
We'll make a video of it. We'll post it up on the
Crispy
Noodle YouTube.
Please no. We'll make it a fail video, fail compilation.
Yeah.
Of just me, like, swinging Charlie Browning it. Because that's what's going to happen.
All right. Well, we'll have to do a video of that at some point. All right. But you know what? That's enough sports. We're out of the sports realm. We're moving into our next group of subjects. It's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
The Simpson guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the Entertainment Entree.
Oh, man. Why not?
That is a that's a deep cut right there.
Deep cut? Is that what you're referring to? No, this would be the deep cut. Billy Bung, definitely. Billy Bung, you gotta have the Billy Bung. Yeah. That's very important.
But what made you bring up those clips? I mean, it's been, God, years since you played them, probably.
that's funny.
You asked that question that way.
Okay.
Ricky Gervais is going to announce sometime this week that he is going to finalize the actual David Brent movie.
Oh, wow.
And it's going to be based on a live tour that he did as David Brent promoting those songs, like Life on the Road and all those YouTube songs. It happened when we first did the show.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I mean. That's why.
It has been years. You're
right. Bringing back an old classic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We love those so much. We, you know,
oh, they're great.
Life on the Road, Spaceman Came Down.
I don't know if I know that one.
Yeah, we played that one for a little bit. And I'm excited. I can't wait to see whatever.
So he's making
happens.
A whole movie about it.
Yeah, and he's going to film, and it's going to be like in the style of like one of those documentaries.
Right, right, like Behind the Music.
Right, right.
Nice. Perfect.
So I can't wait for it.
Oh my God, that's going to be hilarious.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to
Ricky Gervais is just a funny dude.
He is, man. I find his humor awesome.
He is funny.
Some people don't. It's a little bit dark and a little bit dry.
It is, it is. Well, that's British humor.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's British humor.
Yeah.
You know, you either like it or you don't.
Yeah.
But keep an eye out because
I keep wanting to say David Brent, but
Ricky Gervais is going to make an announcement about the David Brent documentary.
Oh my gosh.
Mockumentary movie. I wonder if it'll be called Life on the Road because that was the first song
that would be perfect.
Yeah.
It really would.
That sounds so emotional,
life
too. Life on the road.
I got so a dramatic. Heavy load. Yeah.
Put down to the floor. 70 miles an hour, but no more. Yeah.
So good. Right. I'm surprised I remembered that.
Have you got that one that goes...
Yeah, see, there you go.
Yeah.
All you gotta do is generic music. Sounds good.
Have you got that one that goes...
Is he describing a song there?
I think he's trying to.
Have you got that one that goes...
I never knew what he was describing there. I always thought it was like describing a machine or a car or something.
No, I think it's supposed to be a song.
Okay.
Have you got that one that goes...
You're right, it could be a car, though. It does sound like it could be a car.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like, you know, if you're trying to describe something to the mechanic, you know, it goes... I mean... that's what I do when I go to... No, I'm kidding.
Is that what you do when you go to your mechanic?
Yeah, yeah.
But nevertheless, to go back to the original...
Yes. David topic, Brent, Ricky Gervais.
Yep, Ricky Gervais will be making an announcement about the David Brent mockumentary music drama about David Brent, which I can't wait for. So there you go. That's why I played the David Brent classic Billy Bong. Oh, day, oh, day, oh, day, oh, missy, day, oh. All right, now let's move into our first segment of the entertainment entree. It is time for a segment that we call This Week in Entertainment.
Have you got that one that goes...
All right, Mike, what do you got in This Week in Entertainment?
I do have one that goes blah, 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 blah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I do.
Good.
Have you got that one that goes... Blah, 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 blah?
I do, because in the world of Hollywood, get ready for this one. This is a big one. Mad Max Fury Road is coming out. So I imagine some of those old rickety cars will be making noises similar to Ricky Gervais in that clip.
Could be.
Mad Max Fury Road. I mean, this looks like a lot of fun. A classic summer blockbuster, popcorn munching, soda swilling, awesome action adventure film, post-apocalyptic setting, starring Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron. I mean, this is just going to be.
That's a great acting combo.
Oh
right
yeah,
there.
it's going to be a lot of fun.
That should be good.
Yeah, that should. I'm looking for. You know, I've never watched the original Mad Max. Probably should go back and watch it. But I've been seeing trailers of this, and it looks amazing. I love that apocalypse wasteland vibe that they have of all these machines and costumes and weapons cobbled together through leftover pieces. It just looks fantastic. So go check that out, opening this weekend, Mad Max Fury Road. In the world of video games, we're sticking with the post-apocalyptic theme. We have a PlayStation 4, PlayStation 3 release, The Last of Us Left Behind, which was a DLC for the original game, is getting a standalone release. So Left Behind focuses on the prequel story of one of the main characters of the main game, Ellie. So you get to learn a little bit about her life before she meets Joel, and a little bit about, you know, she gets her character developed a little bit. It helps you understand where her mind is at during the events of the main game. So it'll be interesting to see how this fares with fans as a standalone downloadable title, and whether it will interest people enough to buy the main game and how it will work out, because this happens in the middle of the game as a flashback. So it'll be weird to see how the continuity works. But if you are a fan of The Last of Us and you have not played this yet, maybe you should check out The Last of Us Left Behind standalone release this week. Finally, in the world of TV, this is pretty sad for you, Rich. Mad Men is having its series finale on Sunday on AMC.
No, God! No, God, please, no! 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 No!
Yeah, I'm so sad. I can't believe it. It's time.
Yeah, how many seasons? Seven or eight?
Seven.
Seven?
Yep. Yeah.
That's usually the max for a show. Once you get to seven, you know, it gets hard to keep it going.
Yeah.
So do you think it's the right time, or do you think?
I think it is. It gets to a point where else can these characters go?
Right.
But at the same time, I'm gonna miss it. I love that show.
Well, it's always sad to see your favorite characters go.
Yeah. And but, I mean, Don Draper is classic. I mean,
he's definitely become a household name.
Right.
The past several years.
Yeah. And I'm gonna miss Roger Sterling. He's one of the best characters in television.
Well, you know what? Maybe now is the perfect time for me to catch up on all the past seasons on Netflix. Now that the whole series is over and done with.
Not yet! I still have one episode!
Sorry,
Stop
sorry.
It!
One episode, sorry.
No!
Jeez, Mike.
But I know that's what you'll be doing Sunday night while watching AMC with the Mad Men series finale.
That's where I'll be.
But when one thing dies, another is born. And this week, Thursdays on Fox, you can start watching the new miniseries by M. Night Shyamalan, Wayward Pines. It's a mystery thriller. It looks to have an air of intrigue about it. M. Night Shyamalan hasn't been doing so well in Hollywood, so maybe his TV debut will fare a little better.
I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, oh boy.
His last couple of projects have kind of missed.
Yeah, can't get much worse than the last couple of projects he's put out. But maybe Wayward Pines will be the thing that will set his career back on the right path. So you can go check that out Thursdays on Fox. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right. Thank you, Mike, for that report in this week in entertainment.
You are welcome.
Let's get to our first topic here, after the this week in entertainment.
We're sticking with the world of TV here.
Yeah.
And oddly enough, we talked about Mad Men ending. Something else legendary over the past, actually more than a decade, is also ending on TV.
Yep, I can't believe it. American Idol is finally coming to an end.
Yeah. Wow.
I said it at the same time.
We were very in sync there.
Yeah.
But I can't believe this is ending.
You know what? I gotta say, it's kind of four seasons too late.
Yeah.
This show should have ended when the three original judges quit.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, this show has been going on since, I think, 2002 is what this article says. I mean, it's been a long time. And I think you're right. When... What's-his-face Simon Cowell left the show. I mean, that's when the
when
spark...
They all know, when all three of them left, Simon Cowell, Paul Abdul...
Yeah,
and...
but Simon Cowell was the first one to step away, I think, wasn't he?
No, Paul Abdul was.
Oh, Paul Abdul
was.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, either way, the reason I watched initially, early on, was because Simon Cowell made it so much fun. I mean, they showed all those awful singers, you know, and he just had such colorful comments for them, you know? So when Simon Cowell left, that was a big blow to the show.
Between him and Gordon Ramsay, Americans love to be ridiculed by wealthy, rich
British people.
British people.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's true. I mean, who wouldn't want to be ridiculed by somebody with a British accent? Right? You know, it's something about it. But, no, but you're right. It is four seasons too late. I have the numbers here. The series opened with 12, it averaged, 12.7 million viewers during its initial run in 2002. And then in the years after that, it reached a peak of nearly 30 million viewers, in 2006. But since then, it's been steadily declining. It's had 20 million viewers, per episode up to the 2011 season. And that's when it sort of completely tanked. You know, this past season, it's averaging only 9 million viewers an episode, which compared to 30 million, I mean, it's lost 2/3 of its viewership. I think that's a sign of the times that maybe people just aren't that interested in it anymore.
Yeah, it's not the same show that it used to be.
No, it's not.
Yeah. And it's gone on far too long.
It has. I mean, how long can you ride, you know, this one particular television show format?
Wasn't
you know?
Your girl on it for a little bit?
Which one?
Your girl, Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj?
Wasn't she on it?
I have no idea. I feel like she would have told me if she was.
I'm pretty sure she was on it one season.
Maybe. Maybe as a guest judge? Did they do,
yeah,
they
right.
did like guest judges?
Yeah.
I know Slash was on it one time.
Oh, wow.
They had like a rock week.
Why weren't you
like,
on it? All your friends are on it.
Yeah, I know. Slash, my best Nicki friend Minaj. Slash, yeah. my piece on the side, Nicki Minaj.
Yeah.
Yeah, American Idol stopped being interesting back in the late 2000s, I think.
Yeah, Nicki Minaj was on. She was on during the 2012 season as a judge.
God, she lied to me. We're going to have a talking to. Later tonight.
She's so polite. Oh, we're going to talk about it.
Well, what would you want me to say?
I don't know. It was cute. It was very cute.
Well, I'm trying to keep it PG, Rich. Oh. But yeah, American Idol. So, I don't know.
Oh yeah, I remember. What? She was fighting with Mariah Carey. She was also a judge that year. I remember. It was the 2012 season. It was like the first or second one after Simon Cowell and Paul Abdul left.
And they were still trying to find like a reliable trio or
right.
whatever.
And they just shoved Mariah Carey and Nicki Minaj on the show and just hoped that it was going to work out, and it didn't.
Oh man. Yeah, that's sort of an example of what was happening with American Idol the past couple years. It felt like the producers were grasping at straws. Like, how can we make this hip and fun and cool again? You know, they're trying to throw like big name pop stars in there, and it just wasn't working. It just wasn't interesting anymore. The Voice on NBC, of all shows, was stealing a lot of viewers, apparently. I never got into The Voice. I was never into American Idol. The only reason I watched American Idol was because
of Nicki Minaj.
That's a different story for a different time. But no, it was for all the horrible acts that would come through there, and I would just laugh my ass off at them.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's...
That's what would happen to me, was I'd watch, like, the first, like, three episodes, because that was the one that would feature the horrible auditions. But then, you know what? I'd actually, like, start to get hooked onto it a little bit.
I never watched the actual competition, but you watched the actual competition then.
Yeah, during the first couple seasons, yeah, it was pretty good.
So what eventually turned you off from the show then? Because you are one of those 20 million people that stopped watching between 2006 and 2011.
Yeah, I'd say it would be because Simon Cowell and Paul Abdul left. I didn't like the judges afterwards.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't the same.
I think you can trace the downfall directly to getting rid of the original judges.
Yeah, you know, when you get rid of a major player in a show, you need to reconsider, should we just end the show?
Right.
And I don't think there's any shame in ending the show right afterwards. I actually was just talking about this earlier today with a friend of mine. But like, I know it's not the same exact thing, but like, one of my favorite shows, Sons of Anarchy.
Right.
I know it's not the same platform.
Right.
But
still,
it's still a good rule of thumb. Sons of Anarchy, spoiler alert, in season 6, they kill off one of the biggest players, his dad, his evil stepdad in the show. And it's kind of like, at that point, why continue the show? The whole point of Sons of Anarchy was...
Sons of Anarchy.
Yes.
I mean, I don't know if that title has anything to do with that, but...
was the fact that Jax, the main character, has a Hamlet problem with his stepdad in a motorcycle gang. So the moment you cut him out of the equation in season 6, why is there a season 7? There's nothing
else. What's the motivation?
Yeah. And I think more of this just keeps happening where, you know, something major happens to a show where they cut one of the major players or two of the major players out, and then the producers are like, well, let's still do another season. No. Why can't we say, you know what? We lost somebody very essential to the show. We think we should end the show.
My favorite example, probably one that many people are familiar with, Michael Scott leaving The Office.
Mm.
Michael Scott.
Another one, yeah.
My opinion.
That should have been it. When Michael Scott left The Office, that should have been the end of the show.
My rule of thumb is that episode, Goodbye Michael, and then the finale.
Yeah.
Goodbye Michael, and then just erase everything that happened from there to the finale.
They continued that for two more seasons, didn't they?
Yes, they did.
And it was. That should have ended the show right there.
And that's when that show really hit its downside, because it just didn't have that same charm as when Michael Scott was on the show.
Yeah.
You know, he was the glue that held it together. That 70s show when Eric left for the last year.
Yeah, another one.
Another one. Like, why? Why even bother going on? It was so awkward.
I don't understand why these producers, when they lose a major talent like this on the show, why is it not even an option to be like, you know what? Maybe we should end the show.
Yeah.
You know? It's always like, oh, let's throw something else in.
Right. No, I completely agree.
I don't know.
You know what one
logic
show...
Logic in television. It doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist. You know what's interesting is one show, and this is a more appropriate analogy, America's Got Talent. They don't have any of the original judges left on that show from when it originally started. But the key difference between American Idol and America's Got Talent is that American Idol lost all three of its original judges within a very short amount of time.
Yeah.
Like within a year they were all gone,
I think. Right. Well, 2 seasons.
Two seasons, yeah.
What's his name? Not
Randy Jackson.
Randy Jackson. He stayed on the season after Paul Abdul and Simon Cowell
left. But then he left. So then
he left afterwards.
Right.
Yeah.
So all three judges were gone in 2 seasons.
Right.
But America's Got Talent, they trickled out. You know, one by one, they slowly left. And they replaced them with, you know, interesting people. They got Howard Stern on America's Got Talent. You know, nothing against these judges, but like, I don't care for any of them, really. You know, none of them are very interesting. They're very boring. You know, my parents love to watch American Idol, so every once in a while I'll catch a little bit of it. And these judges are just blah.
Yeah.
They're not drunk like Paul Abdul. They're not Randy Jackson. Yo, 10,041,078%. And they're not Simon Cowell. It's like, you were just awful. These judges are like, oh yeah, you're good. I love you. Oh yeah, you're good. I love you.
I liked your first sentence. They're not drunk like Paula Abdul.
Well, I mean, come on. She was all over the place. I feel bad for anybody that has a drinking problem out there, but it's pretty funny what happens on live TV and you're a judge on a reality show. But no, I mean, you know, hopefully she's not doing that anymore. But, the point still stands, you know, American Idol lost its entire panel within 2 seasons. And in the interim, they just kept on plugging in random stars that didn't work out. You know, they were just throwing darts at a dartboard and hoping that something stuck.
Yeah, that bothers me.
Yeah. It shows that the producers didn't have a plan.
If you're losing this much talent, this much fast, why can't you just – why is it not even an option to consider, you know, maybe we should end the show?
Yeah. And I don't know why they went away from their format of showing some of the bad singers.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Nobody watches reality TV to be impressed.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. Psychologically, people watch reality TV to say, at least I'm not like that.
No, I'm serious. Yeah, that's a real
makes you feel better.
Yeah, that's a real thing that people talk about when people watch reality TV. A lot of psychologists point to that. And you take that fact away and you lose 20 million viewers. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
So
there you go. End of an era. American Idol finally going to get the axe. Yeah.
What do you think their legacy, the show's legacy will be?
Well, I mean, it'll go down in pop culture history, but the last couple of seasons, nobody's going to remember that.
Yeah, and that's a shame because it was such a huge phenomenon when it was big, but they died a slow, painful death.
Yeah.
Should have gone out on top.
Right.
Yeah. Simon Cowell left. That's it. Just ended.
That should have been it.
It would have been immortalized forever. Now it's like, oh, American Idol, you mean that really crappy talent show?
Right.
And that's a shame. It really is. Whether you hate it or love it, that's a shame that such a popular, influential show is going to be remembered like that.
All right, and we got one more topic left in the entertainment entree.
Yeah, one more quick topic.
You've kept from me, so I have no idea what the hell this is.
Go
ahead, Mike.
I have kept it from you because this is something I just stumbled across. It's not even really a news story. It's just something totally absurd that I found that I thought you would get a kick out of. There's a Japanese PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 game coming out next month. It's not releasing in the United States, but we'll see. Maybe they'll port it over here. But what makes this game unique is the title. The title has 65 words in it.
What?
Yes. This title is basically a small paragraph. Are you ready to hear the actual title?
Okay.
The title is Summertime High School, A Young Man's Notes, How a New Exchange Student, like myself, ran into his childhood friend on the school tour, then for some reason became super popular with the girls for his daily scoops on the school photography club, even though he only took panty shots, and what he thinks as he goes on dates during his summer of island school life.
Wait, what?
Do you want me to repeat that? Summertime.
Maybe we need to take this in like portions. What's like
the first? Okay, so the title itself is Summertime High School. Period.
Summertime High School.
Period. Subtitle: A Young Man's Notes. Dash. Then this huge rambling sentence: How a new exchange student, like myself, I don't know why the title is self-referential. Yeah. Ran into his.
So this video game actually went to high school.
I guess is commenting
on how his high school experience is like the main character.
The title is in first person.
Yeah,
it's so awkward. So Summertime High School, A Young Man's Notes: How a new exchange student like myself ran into his childhood friend on the school tour. Then for some reason, so now he's going to say what's going on. For some reason, became super popular with the girls for his daily scoops on the school photography club, even though he only takes panty shots. So,
he's admitting
to voyeurism.
Yeah, what?
And what he thinks as he goes on dates during his summer of island school life. So you just picked up on what the point of the game. The point of the game is to stalk schoolgirls and take upskirt photos of them.
Are you kidding me? This is an actual game?
This is an actual game coming out next month in Japan.
Well, it was very erotic. Yes, indeed. It was erotic.
The title in Japanese looks absolutely ridiculous. I mean, it's so long, it's absurd.
I know it's something to do with sex.
Well, it's not something to do with sex. It's just his thoughts. What is it? A young man's thoughts on how he became super popular with girls after taking upskirt photos, and the thoughts he thinks while he goes on dates in his summer of island school life.
What the hell the game is about?
I think it's about a high school kid that takes upskirt photos of classmates, and then he thinks about it.
So the game is you have to try and take panty shots of girls.
Yeah.
How the hell do they get away with this stuff?
It's Japan, Rich. It's Japan.
Yeah.
So you're telling me you're not interested in playing Summertime High School, A Young Man's Notes, I can't even say it. I should have rehearsed.
This cannot be made good. It's shameful. It's a shameful, shameful day.
Yeah, it's Japan.
So,
what the hell is
so
this?
So you're not going to import this game, Rich, when it comes out?
No, probably not.
No? No? Oh, that's a shame.
First off, how the hell would you even save a file like this if that's the entire title?
I don't know. That's ridiculous, yeah.
Even an acronym based on that is still too long.
S-H-S-A-Y-M. No, it's not going to work.
Can't even make an acronym for it.
Well, that's why the main title is Summertime of High School, period. And then a subtitle, and then this long descriptive all paragraph.
All these goddamn words.
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
Yeah. Could you imagine going to the store and asking for this game?
You're gonna be okay! Say the goddamn words! You're gonna be okay!
Oh, God!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
That's what the store clerk is saying after you get through half of this. Yeah. Say the words!
Say the goddamn f***ing words!
So yeah, I thought you would enjoy this 65-word title of this new Japanese voyeur game.
Thanks, yeah. Japan.
Yeah, thanks, Japan.
Keep up the good work.
Oh, boy.
All right, well, an interesting way to close out the entertainment entree, but we still have something else to do.
Yes, we do.
And it is time to bring back one of our favorite segments. Folks, it's time for a random side dish. Woo! Side dish time.
Yeah, side dish time. This time, I found an interesting post, and it sparked me to go on and investigate this matter further. I'm sure you're familiar with the concept of fan theories.
Yeah, so fans online of their favorite movies or cinematic universes, they
right,
come up
TV
with their
TV shows
own.
And whatever. They come up with their own headcanon of what's happening in their favorite stories. So I decided to find a bunch of crazy but logical fan theories. So these are really strange fan theories that have a certain amount of logic to them, you know, that weirdly fit in with the universe. And I wanted to get your opinion on some of them, and maybe you could tell me how likely they are to be accurate given the universe that they're talking about. All right, so we're going to start off with a couple of classic children's stories. Rich, how are you feeling about classic children's stories?
All right, what do you got?
Well, we have this is where things get a little weird. We're going to talk about mental disorders.
Okay.
So are you familiar with Winnie the Pooh?
I know what
Winnie
it
the
is.
Pooh Bear. You know, the Christopher Robin has a whole bunch of like little stuffed animal friends that he imagines are coming to life and having adventures.
Uh-huh.
Right. So that's basically what Winnie the Pooh is. But a fan theory online suggests that Christopher Robin actually has a slew of mental disorders, and that each one of his little pals represents a different one of them. Like Winnie the Pooh himself is
a thief.
No, he has an addictive personality because he can't stop eating the honey.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Piglet has an anxiety. Eeyore is depression, and they all represent a different aspect of Christopher Robin's schizophrenic mind.
What about the happy orange guy?
The tiger?
Yeah.
The Tigger?
Tigger, yeah.
He's got ADHD.
Okay.
So each one represents, do you want to keep testing me?
I don't know any other characters in Winnie the Pooh.
Well, Rabbit would be OCD. What are the other ones? Kanga, I think that's her name, the kangaroo mom. I'm not sure what the kangaroo mom is. But supposedly they each represent a different mental disorder in Christopher Robin's mind. So the question is, how likely do you think this is, this fan theory?
That's not too bad. That's
it's not too bad?
Shabby, yeah.
What would you give it, like, percentage-wise?
43%.
43%? There you go. You heard it here, folks. 43% probability that Christopher Robin has multiple mental disorders and everything is taking place in his head. Another classic kids show, though. Do you remember the Rugrats?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is you remember Angelica Pickles?
Uh-huh.
Tommy Pickles' older cousin.
Yep.
People always thought it was weird that only Angelica could hear these babies talk. Why can Angelica talk to babies? And why are these babies always getting into weird situations that seemingly no parent would let their kids get into? Well, the popular fan theory online is that Angelica Pickles is actually creating imaginary friends and hearing voices to cope with the depressing loneliness and inattention by her parents.
But
that's really dark.
But don't
But don't Tommy Pickles and the gang, aren't they seen by the parents?
They are, and that's the one piece of criticism against this fan theory.
Yeah.
So I got to ask you, how likely do you think this one is?
This one's down.
This one's down?
Yeah, 3%.
3%. So you're very confident that the children are actually real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's BS.
Yeah, I think the children are probably real. And I think whoever wrote this fan theory is just really has a very dark outlook on life. The fact that Angelica Pickles is just making up all these imaginary friends. This next one is a great one because it involves one of our favorite movies, Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, yeah. That's one of my favorite
are
movies.
You familiar with the Fight Club theory?
Well, I know Fight Club.
Okay. So, by the way, spoilers for everything past this point, for every movie I'm about to discuss.
Okay.
So, as we know, in Fight Club, the person, what's the main character's name?
He doesn't have a name. He's the narrator.
The narrator. Okay. Well,
Jack, technically.
Well, he has this alternate personality.
Right.
That you're not made aware of until the very end of the movie. Well, some people are suggesting that Ferris Bueller's Day Off has a similar storyline and that everything is taking place in the mind of Cameron's head.
Oh, wait. I actually have heard of this.
Have you? Yeah. Because this is a popular one.
Yeah.
He's laying sick in bed.
Right. And he creates Ferris Bueller as an alter ego.
Exactly.
I actually heard of this one.
To escape from the drab, depressive. Do you see a running theme in these fan theories?
Yeah. The only argument against that one is that this movie was made in the 80s.
There was no depression in the 80s.
Yeah, come on, Reagan, you know, was spewing American patriotism for everybody, so everyone was happy. So that's the only knock I would see against that theory.
But there are lots of reasons why it's logical.
Such as
the Save Ferris messages all over the city represent how Cameron wishes someone would care about him, and also helps the idea that the film is merely a fantasy.
And it's also established that Cameron has mental problems.
Does he?
Yeah.
When does it establish that? Well, I mean, he does seem, because he thinks he's sick, but is he really sick?
Right.
So on a scale of likelihood, what would you give this one? This one has a lot of weight behind it.
I would say
it doesn't fit John Hughes' MO.
Yeah. The problem is kind of the outlying factors with this movie. I'd say it's a 49% chance that it could be true, but unfortunately, the fact that it's a John Hughes movie and the fact that it was made in the 80s kind of knocks some points down. That's way too advanced for an 80s movie.
Yeah, you think it's way too advanced for an 80s movie?
Yeah.
So what was the percentage?
48.
48? That's still 50-50.
It's not a majority.
Okay, not quite, but still very, very close.
Yeah.
Okay, so how about this one, Rich? This one is not a movie you're a fan of, but I have to dispel one of the common theories.
What is one of the common complaints
behind it? Why are you getting so upset already?
Is it already?
What do you think it is?
Is it Lord of the Rings?
Yes, it is Lord of the Rings.
All right, I'm just going to go over to the other side.
Oh, come on.
All right, you can talk. Go ahead.
No, come back here, Rich. I'm going to tell you why. Fans are wrong for saying that the Flying Eagles is a plot hole. Do you want to hear why?
Oh, God.
Come on. You make me talk about golf. Get back here.
All right. I'm listening.
Oh, you're a jerk, Rich.
I'm going to get a drink.
Okay. You go get a drink. I'm going to talk to the lovely fans that love hearing about Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, go ahead.
So basically what happens – I can't believe you, Rich. Basically what happens – is people have always criticized the Lord of the Rings for having one of the biggest plot holes out there in the fact that Gandalf could have used the Flying Eagles to take Frodo and all his buddies and just drop the ring into Mount Doom from hundreds of feet up in the air. The whole movie is like 15 minutes long. But here's the fan theory. That was Gandalf's plan. And I'll tell you what happened. What happened is, as you remember, they were going through the mountains. But because of the magic by Saruman, they had to take a detour through the Mines of Moria, which Gandalf did not want to go through. They meet a big, scary fire demon monster, at which point Gandalf has to fight it where he has the epic line, "You shall not pass." And the demon, he fights the demon, he beats it, but the demon grabs him and starts to drag him down. But he's holding onto the ledge, and he says, one of the best lines of the whole movie, "Fly, you fools." People think he's saying run. What he's literally telling them is go find the giant freaking flying eagles and fly to Mount Doom. But nobody realizes this because they're shocked. They're, you know, confused. They're afraid. And so he falls down. They don't take the eagles. And instead, they end up splitting up. And, you know, they can't find each other. So you're saying, why doesn't Gandalf get the flying eagles when he comes back? Well, because he has amnesia. He's literally been reborn as a different person. In fact, some of the characters have to help remind him why or what his name is. So he, you know, had forgotten the plan. But even at that point, Frodo and Sam are so far gone into Mordor that they wouldn't be able to find him anyway. And this theory is further supported by the fact that Gandalf actually does bring the eagles back in the final fight. So people are saying it was really his plan all along from the very start.
All right. Okay.
You literally suck, Rich. Come on. Give me some props. Fan theory. What's the likelihood?
4%.
You know what? I'm going to give that one a solid 70% because I think that's a really – that was probably one of the most solid fan theories out there.
4%.
You mean 400?
No, 4%. That's
throw me a freaking bone here, Scotty.
4%. You chose a bad – you chose a movie I don't like.
Hold on. Did you just say bad? A bad movie?
Yes.
Whoa. Now I'm leaving the podcast,
yes.
Rich.
Bad movie. Boring movie. I'm sorry.
Oh, Rich. God, you cut me to the core there.
Sorry.
I can't believe you. I can't believe you. But you can pass a serious judgment on this. I mean, you've seen the movies, right?
Yeah. But
you still don't want to give it more than 4%?
No.
Well, I, a true Lord of the Rings fan, will give it good. What
yes,
are you?
You're right, yeah.
70%. Okay. All right. I got one for you, Rich.
All right.
We're going across the spectrum. Back to your favorite movie, Star Wars.
Okay.
You want this? So there's, everyone knows that because of the prequel trilogy, George Lucas sort of messed up a few things with continuity and stuff. But now, just like a fan theory fixed one of my favorite movies, a fan theory is going to fix one of your favorite movies.
Uh-oh.
By saying that Obi-Wan Kenobi is not spelled the way we think it's spelled. It's actually the letter O, the letter B, and then the number one. As in Obi-Wan, as in a derivative of a clone of the original Jedi Knight. And that's the reason why he doesn't recognize R2-D2 on Tatooine. Because that was one of the biggest potholes. Why doesn't he recognize these two robots he literally spent, like, decades of his life alongside? That he's actually a clone because they had that whole weird cloning facility on Genosha. That he's actually a series OA-1, OB-1, OC-1. And he's the only one that survived. He was one of the clones that fled to Tatooine and took on Ben's identity. Ben became Ben Kenobi.
I don't know. I'd rather the plot hole at that point.
You'd rather the plot hole than have him be a clone?
Yeah, it's too many clones flying around.
But it makes sense. I mean, that was the original Jedi's plan, was to have this clone army to fight against the Empire.
Yeah, but not clone of Jedi's.
But why not?
Because the Jedi's didn't want... The Jedi's want...
But Obi-Wan went to Genosha. Mm. He literally went there, Rich.
Yeah, he went there as an investigative reporter, essentially. He wanted to find out what the hell was
going
on.
How do you know
on.
They didn't take a pinprick of blood? And
because
like,
we didn't see that happen.
Well, we don't see a lot of things happen.
Nah, I'm going 5% on this.
5%.
One. Yeah.
Man, you are tough to please.
I mean,
I still say Lord of the Rings should have been 70.
Which is more likely? Somebody forgets droids after a 30-year absence of not seeing them?
How do you forget R2-D2?
30 years!
You remember, he says,
do you remember,
C-3PO is like, this is R2-D2.
Do you remember things that have happened 15 years ago and like a minute,
if you spend 20 years of your life.
I would rather believe the fact that it's been 30 years removed and
really?
He's old and hey, maybe he forgot the droids. I think that's more plausible than a clone.
He's a wise Jedi master. He should remember these things. Furthermore, he spent like 20, 25 years of his life with these droids, with both of them.
Not really. Really, it was more Anakin. Anakin was the one that was a fan of the droids.
But
Obi-Wan never really interacted with
them. The droids went with Anakin, and Anakin went with Obi-Wan.
Yeah, but it was really more of Anakin's kind of a deal.
Still, I feel like you would remember something you spent a lot of time with.
Which is more likely?
I would say it'd be more likely an old man happens to forget that it's been 30 years.
I think it's more likely, but in the spirit of the segment, I'd say that this fan theory holds a little bit of water.
No,
not 5%. Too much. 5%. You are just one tough bastard to impress. Okay. How about this one?
I liked your Winnie the Pooh one. That one was a good one.
The Winnie the Pooh one is a really good one. And you refuse to admit it, but the Lord of the Rings one is the most solid one of all these.
Yeah, whatever.
You know it is. I'm going to get you to admit it. Maybe you'll agree with this one, though. James Bond, Skyfall.
Uh-oh.
Okay? So why is the villain so weirdly obsessed with M, almost to an intimate degree? He was, what was he, like one of the agents that she abandoned or wronged or something, whatever. But a lot of people are floating this theory that he's actually more than just an agent and is, in fact, M's son.
Ooh.
So what the message that he sends her, think on your sins. People have looked at that and said, boy, that's worded awkwardly. It's a very specific phrasing. So they crunch it through an anagram thing, and it comes out, your son isn't in HK, Hong Kong, where he was arrested. Which is interesting because...
Wait, you got all that from Think on Your Sins?
Think on Your Sins. It's an anagram for your son isn't in HK.
Okay.
But so here's some more reasons. First, why did the screenwriters go to the trouble of telling the audience that Silva had been arrested in Hong Kong and was thought to still be in prison than transferred to the Chinese mainland as a British spy probably would have been? Why is Silva's enmity toward M so intimate and full of moments of grief? And why, after he says he's going to, you know, he swears revenge, did he find himself unable to kill her?
Yeah, that's interesting because he does have a moment at the end where he could have shot her.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, it makes this, like, crazy, like, why is this guy doing all this stuff? It seems so over the top. Suddenly, it makes it more emotional, more realistic. And we knew that M was going to be a big part of this movie going into it, right?
Yeah. You know.
So it sort of ties into it. So what do you think? A lot of it's resting on that anagram, though. But being the James Bond fan here, Rich, what do you think?
That would be a really great plot twist.
And it doesn't ruin anything necessarily in the lore, the continuity, I don't think.
You know what? I kind of like that one.
Yeah? Oh, I finally impressed him.
I'll go 55% on that one.
55%.
I like that one.
Yeah. That is a pretty good one. I think that's pretty probable. I think...
And also, as a spy agency, you would do anagrams of secret messages. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. So, yeah, I thought that was really interesting. I knew you'd probably like that because of the James Bond thing. I also know that you'll probably really like this one because I know you're a fan of this series, Harry Potter.
Yes.
Everybody loves Harry Potter.
Yep.
Have you ever wondered, though, why the Dursleys were so friggin' mean?
They're assholes.
Okay. Well, you're not allowed to say that word. That's strike two.
Oh, man, I'm doing bad.
Yeah, you are. But other than them being a-holes, it's sort of weird that the Dursleys were extra mean. I mean, I know, you know, Petunia or whatever her name is, Aunt Petunia didn't like Harry Potter's mom. There was always that resentment. They were afraid of the magic. But why put him in a closet under the stairs? Doesn't it seem over the top?
Well, why?
Well, I don't know. I think it just seems over the top. But here's a fan theory that explains why they're so they are just downright evil. It's because Harry Potter is a Horcrux. Let that sink in for a moment. What happens when Ron puts on the Horcrux necklace? He becomes really angry and mean, doesn't he?
Oh, yeah.
In only a short amount of time. So what would living with an actual Horcrux for 11 years do to a group of people?
Yeah. Oh,
so the fan theory says that it's all actually Harry Potter's fault that they're so mean to him.
Thanks, Harry.
Yeah, that because Harry Potter is a Horcrux, it taints and twists the Dursleys from kind-hearted, upstanding British citizens to these evil, like, torturous maniacs. Doesn't that seem a little more likely than just this family locking up their random nephew in the closet under the stairs just because he might be magic?
The only plot hole in that is why wouldn't Ron and Hermione also become evil against each other, because they hang around with Harry for 7 years.
7 years, but not all the time. Remember, Harry Potter, for those first 11 years, lived in that house with those people all the time. Furthermore, you know, one of the main overarching themes of the whole book and movie series is friendship and love. So they had this sort of natural barrier against it by actually liking Harry Potter. But because the Dursleys didn't like Harry Potter from the start, this Horcrux sort of tainted their feelings even more.
Mm.
So what do you think?
That's interesting.
Scale of likelihood.
I'll say
because
68%.
68, but here's the thing. I think more than any of the other ones, this one actually fits the lore
it
of
does,
the universe.
Yeah. Because he is a Horcrux. That's
he
right.
is a Horcrux, yeah. So I got to give this one like 75%. Yeah. I think that's pretty solid. This one and the Lord of the Rings one, Rich.
Yeah, whatever.
You can't even give me that one, man. You are just a stubborn bastard. Because you know it works, too. You just refuse to admit it.
Nah.
No, not going to work.
Nope.
Okay. Well, maybe this last one will get you. This one's a good one. So one of our all-time favorite movies, Pulp Fiction.
Uh-huh.
There is a mysterious case.
Yes.
And nobody knows what's in that case.
Uh-huh.
One fan theory says it's the diamonds and or money that the thieves stole in Reservoir Dogs, right?
That would be awesome.
That makes sense. But these are crazy fan theories.
Yes.
So this is probably the most far out there one, but get this. That briefcase actually contains Marcellus Wallace's soul.
I've heard of this one before, but
have you?
Yeah, but what makes the argument that it has to be his soul?
The combination is 666.
Yeah,
that's fact uh-huh. one. Fact two.
I mean, Quentin Tarantino uses that a lot in his movies.
But hold on, wait. Gold, diamonds, money, none of those glow like is emanating from the case. Now people can say, oh, that's just a cinematic technique to show that something valuable is in there. But here is the real proof, so the fan's theory says. When they first introduce Marcellus Wallace, they do it from the back, a shot of the back of his head and his neck, where there's a bandage. That's an odd shot. Why introduce someone that's supposed to be imposing from the back with a bandage on his neck? Did he cut himself shaving? That seems like a boring, non-essential fact to point out. But what it could also be is the scar from where his soul was removed. In certain Southeast Asian cultures, they believe that you can remove the soul of a person by puncturing the base of the neck, which is where Marcellus Wallace's Band-Aid is located. So, in combination with the 666 combination and the weird earthly glow and the fact that there's a lot of biblical references, the fact that everybody is so amazed by and enamored with this suitcase, and finally, the bandage on the neck. What do you think? Could it be Marcellus Wallace's soul?
I never heard of that Southeast Asian whatever.
Yeah, yes. Some places in Southeast Asia, they believe it's possible to take the soul out through the neck.
That's interesting. I'll give it 35%.
35%?
So yeah.
That's pretty good, though, a third of it.
I'd rather it be the diamonds from Reservoir Dogs, though. That'd be pretty interesting.
Yeah, I mean, that obviously has more ties, especially since Vincent Vega is supposedly a relative of
Vic Vega,
Mr. yeah.
Blonde.
Yeah, Mr. Blonde. So that one obviously is a little more believable, but I like this soul one personally. So there you go. Just a few crazy but logical fan theories. I'm still, Rich, I'm upset that you won't give me any credit for that Lord of the Rings one.
No.
Wow. All right. Wow. We better take a break before I storm out of here, man.
Yeah, let's take a break and cool off your Lord of the Rings fandom. And we'll come back with something truly entertaining.
Wow. I'm quitting the show. No, I'm kidding.
Don't worry. The non-fortune cookie odd news heals all wounds.
Yes, that will definitely bring me back.
Yeah. So don't go anywhere. The Crispy Noodle Podcast continues. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A 39-year-old Pennsylvania man phoned the Allentown Township Police to report that someone stole his Jell-O from the break room refrigerator at work! What?
We can't have this. Friends, there's a lot of things in this world that upset and anger all of us, but none of them are as vile as someone stealing another man's Jell-O.
If I can't have my Jell-O safe at work, where else do I go?
It was just the strawberry Jell-O. I didn't even get a chance to eat it. It was so young. I had only bought it that weekend. I loved it so much.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we're back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. What a jam-packed segment. We had an entertainment entree and then a side dish.
I know. We don't have them much anymore, but
yeah, I hope
that one was a fun one, I think.
Yeah, I hope you're still hungry for more here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. A lot to digest, if you will.
Yeah, we had the sampler dish. We had the entree. We had a side dish with the entree. Oh, man, I'm feeling full. But you know what? There's always room for a little bit of sweet, sweet dessert.
That's right. And the sweet, sweet dessert in our meal of podcasting is our odd news segment that we call the non-fortune cookie odd news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
I'm going to Disneyland. Come and go to Disneyland. All you people living in Sweden.
Woo! Yeah!
Gotta love Gary Busey.
Yep, Gary Busey is our intro into the odd news.
Yes, yes. And for those of you that don't know what's ahead in the non-fortune cookie odd news, let me tell you. Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news. He finds all these weird and wacky stories, but he keeps them hidden from me. He doesn't let me know anything about them, keeps them safe and secret. So all my reactions are my gut reactions. It's my first time hearing these stories. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen, and Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because sometimes these stories take us down wild and wacky paths that nobody can predict. It's always one of my favorite segments.
Yep. I've got some random stories here for you. Mike, you ready to dive in?
Of course. Let's do this.
All right. This first one I can't believe happened. It takes place in Virginia.
Good old Virginia.
Yep.
I don't think we've ever been... Maybe we have a few times, but I don't think we go to Virginia that often in the odd news.
No, not really. But this one's crazy. A Virginia man who is accused of posting photos and videos of his bank robbery to Instagram was caught.
Really?
Yeah, boy, no. What a surprise.
Did he, like, geotag it?
At
yeah.
You know, at TD Bank or something. Yeah. Yeah.
People hit it, liked it, loved it, did all the things that Facebook does.
I'll never understand this phenomenon.
Yep. 23-year-old Dominic Antonio Alfonseca was arrested Monday after 30 minutes after he allegedly used a note to rob the town bank in Virginia Beach, Virginia. And during that time, he posted two videos of his robbery spree in the bank to Instagram.
That's awesome. So was he doing this while holding his phone out?
I guess, yeah.
He, like, smile for the camera and give me all the money.
Well, he also took a picture of the note that he handed the teller.
Oh, my God. So that's photographic evidence.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to know what this lovely robber wrote?
Yes.
All right. This is word for word.
Okay.
True, because okay. We have the Instagram photo.
Okay.
Good job on that one. All right, here's the note, word for word. So this is the note he hands the teller.
Right.
Quote, "Hello, chap." Happy face. There's an actual God. Happy face.
Oh, my God.
"I need $150,000 right now, 2 exclamation points. Yeah. Wow, that's serious.
Wow, yeah.
2 exclamation points. Then it continues, "Please."
Well, at least he's polite. He's friendly and polite. Yes. That's a win-win.
"Please take 3-4 minutes to get here. I'd appreciate if you ring the alarm a minute after I am gone."
What?
"Please make sure the money doesn't blow up on my way out." And that's okay. The end of the note.
Okay, so I guess he was trying to tell them not to put one of those ink packet things in there?
Yeah.
why would he tell them to ring the alarm?
Well, I mean, I guess he knows that they're going to. So
he's trying to be like, just give me a minute.
Yeah, at least give me a minute, please. I'm just asking for a minute.
What are you going to do in a minute? Where's he going to go? Can he even get out to his car? He has like tons of cash with him. Can he even get out to his car, load it up, and drive away in a minute? I don't think so.
Well, Alfonseca has told the police that, quote, my incident shouldn't be a robbery because I, quote, politely requested money.
So wait, as long as you're polite about it, you can't be arrested for armed robbery.
Right. He says it shouldn't be armed robbery.
Okay. All right. I'll have to remember that next time I go to the bank. Can I please have $100,000? Well, he did ask nicely, so it's not technically robbery. Although he does have a point. Did he have a weapon? Because if he didn't, then it would just be like asking for money. Like, hey, you know what? I was just thinking, maybe you should just give me like $150,000. What do you think? That's not robbery. That's just a polite request.
No, but he did, you know, he did hand the note and he did accept the money. That's a no-no, yeah.
Well, I don't know. Is it?
If it's not a legal transaction, you can't walk out of the bank with money that's not yours.
I don't know. The bank teller did give it up. I'm siding with the robber here.
Yeah, are you going to go to court for him?
He asked politely. Yeah. Yeah. He didn't threaten.
He did, I got to admit, he put on the note, "Hello chap."
Hello chap. Face. Yeah. Yeah. How
that's
do we
very friendly.
How
Come
do
on.
We, how do we know the bank teller wasn't in on it? I don't even, that doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, because it says hello chap.
Yeah, hello chap.
You use that for people you don't know. Hello chap.
Unless the bank teller's name was Chap.
Hello, I'm Chap McGinnis.
Chap McGinnis.
I'm in charge of this bank. I see you requested $150,000. I'll give it to you, my kind sir.
You asked so politely. How could I possibly refuse?
I've never had such politeness from a customer or
a robber. Do take care, sir.
Yes.
Pip cheerio.
Yes.
For some reason I'm British.
In Virginia.
In Virginia. Hey, you know, the British, they're all over the place.
So, there you go. That's that's up to you to decide. Is it an actual robbery?
I don't know. He asked politely. That's pretty sound logic right there.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right. We're going to Lexington, Nebraska in our next one.
Okay.
Why not? And in this one's just funny to imagine because this is true. A Nebraska man has been accused of going to a Walmart store and just finding a lawnmower that he liked and just trying to drive home in it.
Of course he did. just starts it up and
I think I'll take this one.
Yeah. I'm just going to take it for a test drive. I'll be back.
Yeah, test drive.
I'll be back.
I need to see how it cuts my lawn first.
Yeah.
The local newspaper, the Kearney Hub.
Okay.
Yep, that's a newspaper.
All right.
The Kearney Hub reports that a sheriff's deputy found a man driving a lawnmower about 10 miles from the store where it was stolen during the weekend.
Did you say 10 miles?
Yes.
How the hell did he get 10 miles away with it?
I'm sure there's probably at least a good 10 minutes of disbelief that did that guy just really drive out of the store with his lawnmower?
But 10 miles, that's... On a lawnmower, that's gotta be at least like 15 minutes of driving.
Maybe this was a fast model.
This had
some horsepower behind it.
How do you make it out of the store without anybody doing anything? Like, they're not quiet. They're loud machines. Like, what's that noise? Oh, it's just that guy driving the lawnmower.
Yeah. He does that every Saturday.
He brought his own. He's not stealing that one.
49.
How did he make it 10 miles away?
49-year-old Gershom Gillett. Wow, that's a name.
Wow.
I'm Gershom Gillett, and I like this.
This is Nebraska, not the deep South Alabama.
I just like his name, Gershom Gillett.
You're making him even more Southern.
I'm Gershom Gillett. I'm Gershom Gillett. And I really like this lawnmower.
I'm going to take it. Apologize to everybody from Nebraska.
Sorry, Nebraska. Yeah. But
that's the way you talk now.
This is an interesting name. How do you name your kid Gershom? Like, what is that? I don't know. What that is.
Gershom?
Gershom. G-U-R-S-H-A-M. Gershom.
Gershom.
That's a first name. Gershom. Anyway.
I feel like that's the name of other people, too.
I hope so.
The way I said that sounded ridiculous. I think that's the name of other people.
Well,
I don't know. I'm looking it up.
Well,
Gershom.
49-year-old Gershom Gillett was arrested and charged with one count of theft and of shoplifting and of criminal mischief. He stole the lawnmower from a Walmart supercenter in Lexington, Nebraska. Security footage shows the man entering the store, fueling up the lawnmower. Oh, he actually had to get gas. Yeah.
Wow.
So actually got gas, fueled up the lawnmower, cutting a chain link fence where the mower was stored, and then taking off on it.
What time did he do this at?
Wednesday afternoon.
So in the middle of the day.
Yep.
Peak shopping hours.
Yep.
Oh my god.
The video.
He just drove. I don't understand how he. People are walking through the store like, wow, why is that guy fueling up that lawnmower? And now he's cutting through a chain link fence. Oh, he's starting it. Oh, okay.
Maybe it's a demonstration.
Maybe it's a demonstration. Oh my god.
I'm Gershom Gillett. I'm expert lawnmower professional showman. I'm gonna show you how this lawnmower works. It's amazing. Quite breathtaking, if you will.
Quite breathtaking. You started off like so hick. I'm Gershom Gillett. It's quite breathtaking, good chap.
Yeah.
He says good chap too.
Yeah. I just want everybody to be good chaps.
Good chap.
Like,
good chap.
Nobody says
that. Do the
that
rest
anymore.
Of the odd news in a British accent, Rich.
Well, also.
Nope.
No. Also, one more thing. The surveillance video also shows the man in question driving over a fence to get onto Interstate 80.
Took it on the interstate? How fast is this lawnmower?
Well, I don't know. It's
vroom! He put it on rabbit speed. You ever notice they have like turtle and then rabbit speed?
Yeah, that's rabbit speed.
Yeah, that's rabbit speed right
there.
I gotta
go on the interstate and this bad boy.
He's mowing the interstate. He made it 10 miles and nobody caught him. Oh my god. He stopped to fuel up the lawnmower. That'd be like if a criminal pulled into a gas station while in a police chase. Oh my god.
So
that's amazing.
There you go. Driving off from your Walmart.
Gershom Gillett.
Gershom Gillett. Yep.
I'm gonna take this year lawnmower. Fuel this on up.
I gotta mow the interstate.
Mow the interstate. That asphalt's been getting pretty high. Need to take a little bit off the top. Now it's like it's giving a haircut. Oh my god.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, well, the next story isn't Lexington, but it's Livingston County in New York. So
okay.
Similar L's. Deputies have charged three men with burglarizing a Build a Burger restaurant in Mount Morris, Livingston County, New York. Investigators said that 34-year-old Matthew Sepetko, 35-year-old James Marulu, and 23-year-old Timothy Walker of Idaho broke into the Build a Burger restaurant early Sunday morning. They destroyed the surveillance system and stole a cash register. Deputies say that evidence from the burglary was found right along the Greenway Trail leading investigators into Mount Morris. Deputies found cash register parts, surveillance system parts, rubber gloves, loose change, and then a, quote, steady trail of macaroni salad right to one of the suspects' house.
Nice. How was he like leaking macaroni salad?
Deputies.
Why? How do you, okay.
Deputies say that the three stole a, quote, large box of macaroni salad, took turns eating it along the escape route, and just left it on the ground. So it's literally like a line from where the Build-A-Burger restaurant is to the one guy's house.
Oh my gosh. How messily were they eating this stuff?
Just like, well, you know what? You don't have spoons when you're doing this. So you just reached in, grabbed just an
reached
handful.
Reached in and grabbed.
Boy, this macaroni salad's good.
Is that the sound for eating macaroni salad?
Yeah. So good.
Well, that's why there's macaroni salad everywhere.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That, there's, you know, you're walking and you're taking,
eating macaroni salad.
You're taking apart the cash register as you're walking, yeah. And then in your other hand, you got the macaroni salad. It's a lot to handle.
God, criminals are so dumb. They don't stop to think like, oh man, all these little broken parts are leading a trail right to us. Or did they intentionally do it so they could find their way back to the store?
All three suspects are charged with third-degree burglary, criminal mischief, and grand larceny.
How's it third-degree burglary?
I don't know.
I didn't realize there were degrees of burglary.
I don't know. I guess.
What would first-degree burglary be?
I guess millions of dollars? I don't know. Millions of macaroni salads.
Does it go by value?
I would assume so.
That makes sense. But I always thought it was like
this is the odd news. Logic doesn't fly in the odd news.
That's true. See, I always thought it was a yes or no thing. Like, did you rob somebody? Yes. Okay, that's burglary. Did you not? You know, no, I didn't rob them. Okay, that's not burglary. I didn't realize there were degrees of it.
The man Walker is also facing charges for possession of a controlled substance as well.
Ah, well, there you go.
Most
that accounts for the macaroni salad.
Yeah. Most of the stolen property was found in Walker's home. So there you go, man. An actual trail of... Wait, let me get the full list going. Cash register parts, surveillance system parts, rubber gloves, loose change, and a, quote, steady trail of macaroni salad.
Why did they take the surveillance system with them?
Yeah, why? You destroyed it. Why
don't you just take, like, the tape out of it or the DVD or whatever it is? Why maybe, take the whole...
Maybe I could resell this camera on eBay.
Maybe that is. Yeah, maybe that's what they were thinking.
Well, there you go. That leads to getting caught by the police. Literally a trail leading back to you.
Yeah. They're like a really bad version of Hansel and Gretel. They're like they escape from the witch's house. They leave a trail of breadcrumbs back to their own home.
All right. Ready for our next batch of stories?
Yes.
And I say batch because I've got three Florida stories for you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy. Didn't we have three last week?
Yeah, Florida's trying to...
Six Florida stories in 2 weeks.
Yeah, Florida's ramping up.
Wow, and that was after like a couple of weeks where they only had like one story per episode.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Florida's trying to get back. Just in time for the summer, for the odd news.
Well, yeah, oh God. Can you imagine once it starts getting hot down there and people go a little crazy? Oh
yeah.
Man. As if they're not crazy enough. What are the right. crazy people in Florida doing?
Alright, well, here's a crazy one for you right here. A Florida couple openly gave their teenage daughters cocaine and marijuana if they went to school and did household chores. There you go. Why not?
So that was the reward.
Yeah.
How old were these?
Happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth.
How old were these kids? Did you say high school?
Chad and Joey Mudd of Largo, a suburb in the Tampa Bay, St. Petersburg area, gave their daughters ages 13 and 14
oh my God.
Cocaine, marijuana, and even meth. As a, jeez. Quote, bargaining tool for school attendance and doing chores.
Wait. if it was a bargaining chip, that means they already enjoy meth.
Oh, yeah.
It's not an effective bargaining tool if they don't already like it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Little Mary loves the meth.
Little Mary Sue is such a meth head.
Little Mary had a little meth.
Little Mary.
It was white as snow.
And everywhere that Mary went,
fun was sure to go.
Oh my god. That's perfect. Oh. Wow. Mary had a little meth, little meth, little meth. Mary had a little meth. And it was white as snow.
Yep.
Everywhere that Mary went, Mary went, Mary went. Everywhere that Mary went, fun was sure to go.
There you go. Yeah. That's how they sing down in Florida. And
that's how they sing. That's the national anthem. That's the state anthem of Florida.
That's the children's anthem of Florida.
Yeah. But I honestly, though, I think it's ridiculous that this 13-year-old kid, because, right, it, you can't offer a kid something as a bargaining chip if they don't already like it.
Yeah.
You know, so that means that, that little Mary and Susie are already, like, cracked up, horrible drug addicts, you know? Happy, happy birthday from drug dealer to you. Here's some meth. Have some fun. Meth, 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 meth.
According to an affidavit, the mother said that she smoked pot with her daughters 5 times a week. And the father,
oh my gosh, the Jesus,
and the father gave cocaine and meth with the teens. My God!
Oh my God! That's horrible.
So open about this.
Jeez!
I can't believe they're like openly admitting to this.
Mom, I got 2 A's. That means I got to do 2 lines. Chop it up fine, lady.
What a good girl you are. You got an A+ on that history test. Let's open up the meth bag.
Oh my God. That's amazing. That's awful. That's so sad. Oh my gosh.
Chad Mudd.
Why is their name Mudd?
Yeah.
Jesus.
Really? Chad Mudd, the 36-year-old father, works at an area beach bar.
I guess that's where he got the drugs.
Yeah.
He was charged with 6 counts of child abuse and 1 count of possession of cocaine. Joey Mudd, who's the mom, was charged with 2 counts of child abuse. And also, as a kicker, it seems that she works at a pediatrician's office.
Oh, no.
Oh, everything is just wrong with this story.
She's getting all the little kids hooked on drugs. It's like hooked on phonics, except much.
Hooked on drugs.
It actually makes it more difficult to pronounce the words. Hooked on drugs. This is meth.
M-E-T-H. That's right!
That's right!
You get some.
Yeah, you get some. Here you go, sweetie.
Now, how do you
spell? It tastes delicious.
Now, how do you spell cocaine? C-O-K-A-N-E. No.
Sorry, you don't get any cocaine.
Try again.
Little kid pulls out a gun. I said, give me my cocaine.
They were released Thursday on bail.
I want to know what their family fun night is like.
Yeah.
They like sit down and play a game of Monopoly, and instead of like the little silver tokens, they like
pot pipes.
Pot pipes, or I don't know what they would use. Oh my God.
Do not pass go. Do not collect your cocaine.
Go to jail. Dad's already been to jail.
Well, that's not a surprise for you, is
and
it?
Mommy's going next month. Oh my gosh.
Awful. I landed on BNO Railroad. Oh, that isn't that where we get our drugs from?
Yeah. Oh my God.
So, wow.
Wow. Yeah. God.
Yeah.
What to say about the Mudd family?
Boy, they're up to some weird stuff during family games.
They put all other families to shame. I mean, once you share cocaine and meth with your kids, I mean, such a special bonding experience. Come here, honey. This is how you buy meth on the street corner. I'm scared, Daddy. Don't be scared. It's fun.
This is how you make dime bags. This is how you... You need to learn this.
And when you graduate high school, we'll move on to heroin.
All right. That was a pretty sad story. How about a story...
that we laughed our asses off to. Yeah.
How about a story that actually, I can't believe this. A Florida woman being smart.
No.
Yeah, I know.
Rich, you're lying.
I'm not.
Yes, you are.
You ready for this?
There's no such thing as a smart person in Florida. I'm sorry. I apologize to anybody that lives in Florida. I'm sure.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Look, when you do like 100, this is actually 111 episodes. We do 111 episodes of nothing but crazy Florida people. Sort of twists your opinion of them. But so you're saying there's a smart person in Florida?
Yeah. Okay. Are you ready for this one?
Okay, yeah.
A Florida woman who was being held hostage with her children was able to use a Pizza Hut ordering app to ask the store employees to call 911 on her behalf.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's pretty smart.
The Pizza Hut in Avon Park, Florida, received an online order around 3:40 p.m. from regular customer Cheryl. Chef Alona Hawk noticed the comment section for the owner of a small hand-tossed classic pizza with pepperoni that read under the custom comment section, quote, "Please help, get 911 to me."
Wait, you know what I love about this? She was just ordering the pizza to send the message, but she took the time to get pepperoni on it.
Yes! I never realized that, yes! He checked off that pepperoni!
Look, I mean, just in case they don't call the cops, I still want pepperoni on the pizza.
Yeah. I still need pepperoni.
I mean, this is a life or death situation. Like, pepperoni? Yes, please!
Oh, yeah!
Oh my god.
Yeah. Boy, man. If this is gonna be my last pizza, I better have some freaking pepperoni on it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my god. That's amazing. Did they actually get the pizza?
Well, the Pizza Hut manager, Candy Hamilton, printed the order and contacted police. Police said that Cheryl and her children were being held in their home at knife point by the woman's boyfriend, 26-year-old Ethan Nicholson. A Highlands County Sheriff's Office negotiator arrived on the scene, and Cheryl came out of the home with one of the children, but two others remained inside with Nicholson until police were able to apprehend the suspect. Nicholson was arrested without incident about 20 minutes later. Cheryl and her children were not injured, so they walked out of this thing A-OK.
With pizza.
With pizza. With pepperoni.
With pepperoni pizza, yeah.
Cheryl told police that she and Nicholson had been arguing, and he had taken her phone away after threatening her with a knife. Cheryl said that she convinced Nicholson to let her use the phone to order pizza for the kids.
Oh, man.
And he took the phone back after the order.
That guy is just stupid.
Yeah. I won't let you make any more phone calls, but can you get a pizza? I'm kind of hungry.
How did he know she was ordering a pizza? She could have been texting somebody. I'm just saying, not a very smart criminal.
Nicholson was charged with aggravated assault with a weapon without intent to kill. Oh, all right.
Okay.
Why is that in the charges? The whole thing is one big charge.
What was it? Aggravated
quote, aggravated assault with a weapon without intent to kill.
Okay.
Florida, Jesus Christ. battery, boy. false imprisonment, and obstructing justice. Florida.
Oh, boy.
but smart on the woman.
Yeah, very smart. Not only did she save her kids, but she got pepperoni on that pizza. That was such a clutch move.
Yeah, all right. Check.
Check, yeah.
Before I hit that send button.
Actually, she was about to hit send. She's like, oh, I forgot to get the pepperoni. She had to go back in the app.
Oh, God, I got to type this 911 call again.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is perfect. That is just perfect.
All right, I got one more Florida story for you. It's a quick one here.
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
And, boy, this one is just a guy who didn't think things through.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
A man with a kitchen knife decided to rob a senior citizen in an elevator in Florida. But then he found he would have trouble making his escape. Surveillance video shows a bandit following a woman into an elevator in a municipal building in Broward County, Florida. When the woman walks into the elevator, he then jumps into the elevator with the woman and threatens to cut the woman. He then steals her purse. But then, as he turns around, he runs right into the elevator door closing in on him.
Oh, nice.
So there's a couple of awkward seconds in the surveillance video where he's trying to get the door open, but it's not opening. The robber was able to quickly recover, taps the elevator buttons to get the doors to reopen. They finally reopen, and the bandit bolts out of there. The woman was not hurt. The robber is still on the run, but the surveillance footage has leaked, and it's everywhere on YouTube. So if you want to check that out, you can, of this robber thinking that he's going to make a quick swipe, and the door just closes in on him.
What a bumbling idiot.
Yeah.
The lady should have pushed, like, all the buttons on the elevator.
Christmas tree. Woo!
Yeah. or push, like, the top floor so that they had to wait for it to go all the way up.
Make your escape on the top floor.
Yeah.
Try that. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
you idiot.
So is he, like, trapped in the elevator then for a few seconds?
Yeah.
Nice.
Because, you know, the doors just close. They don't, once they close, like, unless somebody hits a button, it just stays.
It just sits there. Yeah. So, that's why the lady should have hit the button for the top floor.
Yeah.
Sent them all the way up.
There you go.
Oh, boy.
The video is up on YouTube if you want to check that out. just to have that all. He actually like runs into the door too because it just closes and he's like, oh, like he can't believe that happened to him.
God, dumb criminals.
Yep. All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, we're moving away from Florida, and we're going local on this next one. We're going to Jersey.
No. Good old Jersey.
Yep, New Jersey in our next story here. Bridgeton police arrested 21-year-old Darquan R. Lee on a contempt of court charge on Friday afternoon. Officials at the Southern New Jersey Towns Police Department said that they suspected Lee may have been hiding something when he was presented into court. Lee said that he was going to use the restroom, but then when he was told that the police would have to strip search him as part of policy, they can't let suspects freely go in and out of the bathroom.
Right.
He then said, oh, no, it's okay. I don't want to go to the bathroom. Oh, yeah, that's not obvious.
That's not suspicious.
Yeah. At that point, that was when prison guards at the Cumberland County Jail decided to strip search Lee anyway. That was when they found an automatic 25 caliber handgun shoved right up his ass.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Yep, it's a real story of your clip.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. You know, I said that line way, like, that was probably our first season, like, the first year that we did this, about a story where a guy put a pistol up his ass. This is the only other time where somebody has put a pistol up their ass. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Right? Yep. I think this is, I mean, people have shoved other things up there.
And are you ready for this? I can't believe this.
Okay.
The gun was fully loaded with live ammunition.
Oh, my gosh.
You idiot. Boy, when people say I'm going to tear you a new a-hole, boy, this guy's literally talking it. In your face! Ha ha!
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. Or he goes to the bathroom and he comes out and he's like, I know you guys need to strip search me, but I need to go to the hospital right now. I had an accident. Not like you think.
Yeah, and another weird turn of events, it turns out the gun was stolen from Alabama.
So okay.
At some point, this guy was in Alabama, or the gun made it up to Jersey or something.
I don't know. Yeah. It traveled through many people's butts. To get from Alabama to Jersey.
Took a long and strange journey.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass. It's like Christopher Walken in Pulp Fiction, and I shoved that watch up my ass.
Yeah.
That's what happened with the gun.
Right.
Billy shoved the gun up his ass, and he gave it to
Darquan R. Lee.
More people before.
Oh, sorry, I jumped ahead.
What's his name? Darquan?
Darquan.
This is like Obi-Wan? Darquan.
Darquan R. Lee.
Darquan. Okay. Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Law enforcement officials then slapped Lee with additional charges, including unlawful possession of a weapon and receiving stolen property.
How? So wait, was he in police custody before this, though?
Well, he was arrested on a contempt of court charge.
Okay.
So he was wanted already.
They had just picked him up then.
For just that.
Right, right.
Yeah, and then,
but what I'm saying is he wasn't in court. He wasn't in police custody before his appearance in court.
Ever?
Like, no, how long was he in police custody? I'm trying to figure out where and how he got the pistol up his ass. How long was it up there?
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
That's what I'm trying to think. When did the cops pick him up?
It says Friday afternoon is when they picked him up.
And when did this whole thing go down?
I guess later in the afternoon.
So later that day.
Yeah.
So did he already have the gun up his ass?
Probably.
Or did the cops knock at the door? He's like, oh, I got to do something real quick. And he just jammed it up there. I'm just trying to figure out, like.
I think he probably already had it up there.
Before the cops got to pick him up.
Yeah.
Cause that's just a normal Friday afternoon for him.
Yeah.
Gonna sit down, have some nice
very
lunch.
Exciting.
Very exciting.
Yeah, I got a pistol up my ass.
Just makes me wonder what people walk around with up their butt. You're just walking down
you'll
a street.
You'll never know.
You're looking at these people, you're like, he's got a pistol up there. She's got a watch hiding up there, you know? Like that one story.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
So, yep, there you go. A real life instance of one of your favorite clips, Mike, right
yeah.
there.
Yeah.
All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? Over the weekend, of course, we mentioned it. It was Mother's Day weekend.
Right, right.
So, of course, the odd news wouldn't be complete without a Mother's Day story.
Oh,
why
no,
not?
I'm having flashbacks. Do you know the one that I'm talking about?
Which one are you thinking of?
It's one of our best of odd news stories. I'm pretty sure people could go find it by looking at one of the best of episodes where the lawyer in Florida said that Mother's Day message on Facebook.
Oh my gosh.
Do you remember?
Gosh,
Happy Mother's Day
nuts.
To all the crack hoes
the crack
out there.
Oh my gosh. That one's funny.
And he said that it was misinterpreted.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. So I'm hoping it isn't as bad as that one.
No, it's not that one.
No, this one said Happy Mother's Day to all the crack whores out there. No. Much different.
But in this story, four men were arrested after they started a Mother's Day brawl at the local Red Lobster. Why not?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. It's funny because we were thinking about going to Red Lobster. We didn't, but.
Good thing you didn't.
Yeah, we would have got tangled up in a brawl.
Artez Coppins, Edward Murrett, Tommy Mullins, and Corey Turner were all arrested following a sour turn to Mother's Day thanks to a brawl at the Red Lobster in Columbus, Georgia.
Are these people related, or are they just four random strangers brawling with each other?
According to the police department, as one family was leaving the Red Lobster, a group of males came in and jumped on one of the guys who was with the group leaving the restaurant because the group of males assaulted the man because they believed he was involved in a previous shooting of a mutual friend.
Oh.
So,
yikes.
A little bit of a revenge here.
Wow.
It just happened to be at their Mother's Day dinner.
Yeah. God.
To make matters worse, one of the men was holding a 14-month-old baby at the time of the assault.
Yikes.
And that was when the other members of the family tried to save the baby, and they got into the fight as well. It turned into an all-out melee at the Red Lobster.
Nice.
As a result, three men were transported to the local hospital with various injuries, including a cut to the back of the head, a cut above the eye, and multiple lacerations to the face.
Wow.
This was a nasty one.
Jeez.
Yeah, it's Red Lobster.
What does that mean? It's Red Lobster.
You just get really angry at Red Lobster.
You just get really angry. I want more Cheddar Bay biscuits.
You're not giving me enough.
God damn it. If you don't bring me more biscuits, I'm going to stab you. The poor waitress is like, okay, I'll bring you more.
All of the victims were treated and released, and the 14-month-old was not injured. So
that's good.
Good.
Well, that's the one doing most of the fighting.
What?
The 14-month-old. The baby is the one that caused all those lacerations. They got those little dagger claws, you know?
Four people were arrested in connection to the restaurant assault. Coppins and Murrett tried to flee the scene, but they were found hiding in the woods south of the Red Lobster. Then Mullins and Turner were found in a Charter Communications parking lot and were arrested shortly thereafter. So they ran, made it to a parking lot, and
just
stayed there.
Yeah.
We'll lay low here. It's like a good spot.
Yeah. They'll never notice us standing
in a parking lot.
In the parking lot.
On a Sunday when there's nobody at work. Good one.
Did they drive there? Why did they run to the parking lot? Why wouldn't they go hide in the woods with the other guys? And why did the other guys stop? Why didn't they just keep running?
All four men were charged with counts of battery, reckless conduct, and disorderly conduct. So, you know what? Don't have a fight at Red Lobster. If I go to Red Lobster, I just want the biscuits and my seafood, and that's it.
Yeah, yeah. Or do start a fight and have a little bit of fun. Dinner and a show, right?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. All right, I got one more story for you.
Okay.
It's a quick one, but it's definitely worthy. A gospel song saved a 10-year-old Atlanta boy from his eventual kidnapper.
Wow. Last week we didn't have the song.
Yeah, did you miss it?
Yeah, I did. Aww. Yeah.
10-year-old Willie Myrick said that he was in his front yard playing, but then he saw some money. He went to bent down to pick up the money, and that was when somebody grabbed him from behind and threw him into a car. Myrick said that the man said, I don't want to hear a word from you. That's when Myrick began to sing a gospel song for 3 hours straight.
Oh, no. Awesome God, he raised from heaven above. He breathes
on power and love. Our God is an awesome God. So that just on a 3-hour loop.
So basically what you have on your iPad.
Yeah. That's when the kidnappers started cursing and repeatedly told the 10-year-old boy, Myrick, to shut up. But to his defiance, he did not and sang the song for another 3 hours. Yep, that's what kids do.
So 6 hours total.
Yes.
Why? This is going to sound awful, but why didn't the kidnapper just, like, hit the kid? Or, like, pull over and, like, take him somewhere? What? Like, were they driving the whole time?
I guess.
Where was he taking him?
At that point, after 6 full hours of the same song, the kidnapper just gave up and he let him out of the car.
Wow.
The little boy ran to a nearby home and asked the residents to call the police and his parents. Police don't have any leads on the person, but they are thankful that the kid made it home safe and sound. Just
through the power of song.
6 hours. 6 hours of this.
I don't know.
On a loop.
I think we could do it.
I don't know if I want to try that.
Why not? It's so catchy. From power and love, our God is an awesome God. That was a different part of the song I never heard.
Yeah,
oh my
I
God.
Never made it this late
wow.
into the song.
See, if we would sing it for 6 hours,
we'd find that part.
Exactly.
Oh, that's what we have to do.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll sing the same songs for over 6 hours. Get away from the kidnappers. There you go. That's the best I can do. It's getting late.
Get away from the kidnappers. Bye bye.
That's the best I can do. It's getting
Didn't
late.
Go with the music at all. See, I couldn't think of anything, so I just stayed quiet. You came up with that gem.
There you go.
That's
the best I can do.
It was perfect.
And there you go.
Great.
That's what we have in the non-fortune cookie odd news. But before we wrap everything up for the night, we like to go over everything that we've learned on this episode. We call it, What Have We Learned on This Episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast?
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have we learned?
We learned that you can escape your kidnappers by singing gospel songs for 6 hours.
Yeah.
Featuring such amazing lyrics as, Get away from the kidnappers, bye-bye.
I'm a songwriter. Don't you know that?
I know. You're a poet and you didn't even know it.
Yep. Singer-songwriter, Rich Liebig.
Yes. Can't wait for the first solo album.
Yep. Get away from the kidnappers. Coming June 5th.
Oh, there you go. You heard it here. That's something else I learned. Rich is going to be posting a solo musical album on June 5th. I'm going to hold him to it. On June 5th, I'm going to find out whether he followed through with it.
Yeah, okay.
We also learned that if you ask politely, it doesn't count as robbery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, chap. Just give me some money.
Exactly. Just call people chap, which goes into my next point. Rich, I found out that you want everybody to say good chap to each other.
Yeah, that's such a nice phrase.
It is. Good chap. Yeah.
Good show, old chap.
Yes, exactly. And you have to have a British accent with it as well.
Okay.
We also learned that the Mudd family just has the wildest family fun nights ever.
Yeah.
I mean, having meth and cocaine with your teenage daughters is like a special bonding experience, I think.
They'll be closer than no other family.
Yeah. Teaching little Susie how to snort a line. Oh man. It's a special moment.
She's really getting good with that razor blade.
Yeah. Well, her razor work is amazing. Oh, we also learned that a lady was using a Domino's, what was it, Pizza Hut app to order a pizza to escape from her hostage taker, another kidnapper. But she took the time to get pepperoni on the pizza.
Yep.
That's amazing.
It is always important to get an order right.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And think of it this way. If they don't get the message about saving you, at least you have pepperoni pizza.
The pizza the way you want it.
Yeah. It's a win-win, I think.
Yep.
You either get saved, you get pepperoni pizza. That's a pretty good deal.
Yep.
That's what I've learned. Have you learned anything, Rich?
I've learned that Mike really wants to make golf more fun.
Well, I'm not going to say how I want to make golf more fun.
And some of those crazy fan theories might be true.
Especially the Lord of the Rings one.
Yeah. And that's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I'm if I know what we did.
What a show.
Another good one in the books.
Good one, old chap.
Yes, a very good one, old chap.
Yes.
Pip, pip, cheerio.
Here, yes.
Here, yes.
Give me my scotch. Yes, yes.
Okay.
You're laughing at me. No, go get me scotch right now. Yes, yes.
Oh.
Chop, chop.
Well, how about after we finish the show?
Okay.
Should we do the rest of the show in British accents?
Me, I don't know.
I am all you can say is good chap.
Yeah. This has been a crazy episode.
It has been.
But you know what? That makes the Crispy Noodle Podcast that unique.
So true.
If you want more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle. And follow us on Twitter, at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find some of our best bits, videos, interviews that we've done, and other fun stuff we've put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, your phone, or your tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, or at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right, and we also have mini noodles that you can find on our SoundCloud page. They're our best bits that we condense to 1 to 2 minute best of clips, and they're a lot of fun to listen to. I was actually listening to a couple of them over the weekend, and I was busting a gut. I can't believe how well they stand up. The old ones, though.
Oh, yeah, the old classics are some of the funniest ones, man.
Yeah, so definitely give our SoundCloud page a look if you can. Also, we're also on Twitter. I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig.
And I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And there you go, folks. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. What a show.
What an awesome show.
Pip pip cheerio. Yay!
Yes.
Old chap.
Yes, old chap. I do say so myself. This was a fantabulous show.
Excellent. Let us go have our scotch and brandy.
Ha ha, yes.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow!
Something!